The show business. If you think you're nervous now, wait till you're on the air.
From the WGN Tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
Dot FM. Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Scotland and Oak Forest. Here. A jury in Florida awarded a staggering $23 billion judgment against the country's second largest tobacco company for causing the death of a chain smoker.
Oh, they're so nasty.
Who died of lung cancer at the age of 36. Michael Johnson started smoking at the age of 13.
Spectacular mistake.
Even if for some reason you never read the warnings on a pack of coffin nails, which have been there for almost 45 years now, why would any person with a few brain cells working think that drawing smoke into one's lungs is good for you?
Well, I can only speculate as to the reasons why.
If it was, firemen would live to the age of 200.
Oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Speaking of lawsuits, the Cubs...
Oh, no! We suck again!
...have filed a lawsuit against a group of people that are dressing as a Billy Cub character in the Wrigleyville area. The official mascot is Clark the Cub.
Who the hell is he?
I'd say the Cubs could sue the pants off Billy Cub, but the mascot doesn't wear any pants.
You're probably wondering why we're standing here with no pants on.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer, available on WGN.FM through TuneIn Radio or iHeartRadio on the Super Streamliner, the Super G, in Chicago. Rock me, mother. Jim is in for Tom.
Hi there, Gary.
Jim, did you send this? This is the first text that I opened. 312-521-8600. Off to a good start. Johnny has a nun and a social worker looking out for him. He deserves better friends than you a-holes.
Whoa.
I hope you get in trouble for what you are doing with him.
What are we doing?
What am I doing?
What are you doing?
I just now arranged a nice train ticket for him to come in Thursday for the broadcast, and he'll be at a hostel like he always does, and that's all paid for.
Gratis.
Yeah, I got a nice little Facebook mention from him.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
I'm sure this texter has taking in a lot of people and showing them a good time.
Yeah,
but that's
sure.
The start of the week, so imagine what's going to happen by Friday.
What did you ask? Did I send that text?
Yeah.
No.
That was your tone from last week.
No, not, no.
Mr. Fuss Budget?
No, I wasn't fussing about anything. Don't give me any problems now.
Well, what do you think of that one? You know who Johnny is. He sent you a nice little piece. Did you get the photos he was
talking
about?
I got the photos, you know, and I think he's a great guy.
Yeah. And he'll be on the broadcast Thursday from the 22nd floor, and that's because I was able to get him, because he's not budgeted to come in before Halloween.
Well, I just found out you get me an extra day this week.
So you're here through Wednesday?
Through Wednesday, yeah.
Tom, what, not really feeling it anymore?
I don't know. I just came in and said, oh, by the way, we're adding an extra day to this stretch. You know, so I said, okay.
If he wasn't on vacation, I would have pushed to have him do the weather from the 22nd floor.
Well,
if there's another perch that would be better to do the weather, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It would be, in my estimation, the 16th floor of the Trump Tower. You ever been there?
No.
You got to go there.
Why?
Because it is a fabulous view. It's right across from the Wrigley Clock. Maybe 30, 40 yards from the Wrigley Clock. It was designed to have this vista of the city that is, I think, unmatchable with any other building. And you're outside.
Send me a picture.
I will. So you have no plans to ever come down here to see that, even though you are the spokesperson for Chicago. You will not come down and see that.
I'm exhausted. Are you kidding? I've got things to do when I get home. You know, I can't.
All right. Well, if you ever have a moment where your wife says, hey, you want to go downtown and do something, and you'll say, I got just the place, 16th floor.
She says that twice a day anyway.
She what?
Says that twice a day anyway.
16th floor, Trump Tower, outside, have a drink, get some food. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Why don't you send Johnny there, and then Johnny can take a picture and send it to Jim.
I might do that. Maybe when Johnny's in town, I, as his caretaker a-hole.
And travel agent.
And travel agent will send him over there to snap a shot, send it to you.
Oh, my.
But as far as that goes, the 22nd floor of the Tribune Tower is a nice perch, and that's where I'm broadcasting from on Thursday.
Now, what direction are you seeing the city skyline from?
Okay, the patio is on the east side of the building.
Right.
But you can see the best view is probably south and east.
South and east.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, and okay. Very nice.
And is that on Michigan Avenue, the Trump Tower?
Trump is right off of Michigan Avenue. You can get there from Michigan Avenue. You go behind the Wrigley Building.
It's on
right
Wabash,
there.
Though.
Oh, yeah, I know
it's
where
technically
that is.
On Wabash, but you can get there from Michigan Avenue.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But it was designed to have the building break right there by the Wrigley Clock, and then the next section breaks, I guess, at the top. Is it at the top of the Wrigley Building?
Mm.
But it's sectioned for that. They designed it so it would break at those different moments in the skyline.
It's got to be the Wrigley Building.
Yeah.
Next to
him.
Well,
it's got to be.
They have three different buildings, I believe, that they lined up with when they designed it. And I know the Wrigley Building clock is the first one, but it is beautiful.
I bet it is.
So how was your weekend?
I was here.
Well, that was about it, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, you get up, you come to work, you go home, you go to bed, you get up and come to work. That's the way it is around here.
And you will be working, if you go through Wednesday, how many days in a row?
Oh, that's 12.
12
that's
days
nothing.
In a row.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah, you've done more.
Oh, yeah.
You can do that standing on your head.
Sure. Probably have to before it's over.
Saturday, my daughter and a friend went to see Blake Shelton at Wrigley Field.
Really?
And the band Perry opened for Blake, and I thought, man, they've won awards and stuff. That's a pretty good band to open for a Blake Shelton.
Yeah, that's country music, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have to say, and maybe it was the lighting, maybe it was these big signs that they have out in front of, these big banners they have on the front of Wrigley, 1914, 100 year, whatever it says.
2014.
The place.
1904.
Look, the place, oh. And I know you're going to go, or duh, when I say this. It looks really old. I don't know if it was, again, the lighting, the whatever it was. Mm-hmm. It just, when you catch something and it's not really its best shot,
yeah.
It looked really old.
It's really? 100 years old.
That's what I expect people to say. That's why I said, you're going to probably go, duh, it's 100 years old.
Yeah.
But it looks it.
Yeah.
From the outside, it really does. The only...
Well, we look it.
Huh?
We're really old. We look it.
Here it comes.
Wow.
No,
I thought if I get through tomorrow.
It only took 15 minutes.
All I have to do is get through tomorrow.
That's not insulting. It's not insulting to be old.
And this guy won't be kicking me in the nads again for a while.
I didn't do that. I mean, what do you think? It's wrong to be our age?
The only thing that's really, I think, embraced by the true fan is the ivy and the scoreboard. The rest of it is pretty standard old ballpark stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if people really get into the trough and everything, but that's really what I think people are sentimental about. There's nothing else there that...
Well, there's no concourse.
No concourse.
You can't walk in
there. No, no parking.
It's more than that. It's a location, too. I mean, it's in a neighborhood.
Yeah, and that's another thing.
Yeah.
It is a nightmare when you have...
Did you go to the concert?
No, we just picked her up
and
dropped her off.
Yeah,
picked her up.
And how come you didn't go?
My wife asked me. I just wasn't into it.
You weren't feeling it.
And
my
daughter said that Blake talked for about 5 minutes between songs, one of those things.
Yeah.
I'm not a big, I don't know a lot of his music, so I wouldn't be sitting there going, do drinking till I throw up on a canoe, or whatever those songs are.
Did he have a big chair that turns around?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
It's not the country music of the 1950s. You
it ain't
know.
Merle
it's not-
Haggard.
Yeah, it's not Merle Haggard and Buck Owens.
No,
you know?
It's not
this
that.
This is what came to be called in some circles as rockabilly back in the 1960s. It's sort of a departure from the traditional country music, and it's some people like that. Some people think that's a blasphemy. You know, not to have a lot of fiddles and steel guitar.
Yeah.
But it's actually could play very easily on some of the contemporary stations, and some of it does. I don't think you'd find it objectionable, frankly, except that there is that tendency for a lot of country music singers to try to sing with a southern accent, and a lot of them are not southern. Like Shania Twain is Canadian, And a couple of things she does, you know, it sounds like she's trying to be a little Southern there. But
yeah, I like Shania Twain.
I do, too. But that aside, a lot of the singers from the Northeast and Midwest are, you know, try to get in there, that Texas twang, you know, when they're singing, and it just doesn't
Yeah, when we were pulling up, I heard Blake, y'all bunch of hillbillies, getting people ready for the next song.
Oh, yeah.
And my daughter said a lot, and again, this is a duh moment, a lot of beer consumption. A lot.
Really?
Yeah. Guys buying underage girls' beers, the whole shot.
No, it's not good. Not good.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. But the park just, it had one of those moments where if the park could talk, I'm exhausted. Please, somebody, do something.
Put me out of my misery.
Yeah, that's enough already. I can't bear big scoreboards
You're
and stuff.
You're not big into tradition, are you?
I am, to a point, but when it becomes unworkable, and again, I really have studied this.
Yeah.
The only parts of the park that I think people are very sentimental about are what I mentioned.
Yeah.
The wall, the ivy. Yeah. And the scoreboard.
Well, that could all be incorporated into a new park. But I think that, you know, when the old Comiskey Park came down, I thought that was a terrible thing. I actually missed that park.
Yeah, but that was a real dump. Not well, that there are categories of dump. A dump is a dump is a dump. That was really a dump.
That's why Gary tried to blow it up in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do it. That wasn't there. It was not there. Something else.
Oh, my.
They should have just done a whole night of, you know what? We've got to start here. Let's just take the whole thing down.
I just can't picture any kind of stadium other than Wrigley Field. I just can't picture it. It just wouldn't work.
Well, again, you say that, but with the up-and-coming generation, I think they want creature comfort.
They knocked down Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, you can knock down anything.
So you can knock anything down.
The Yankees haven't been that hot this past couple of years either. So
have you ever been to Miller Park? In Milwaukee?
No, I never have.
They've got that roof that opens and closes, and people love that.
I presume they do.
Yeah.
I don't know what their attendance is.
And the Brewers seem to do well.
They're in first place.
Is first place, is that good enough for you, or do you have some other place that you'd like to be?
No, here's the deal. I mean, the Cubs haven't exactly set the woods on fire when it comes to playing baseball. So people aren't really going to see great baseballs normally. You know, it's a whole different thing with Wrigley Field.
I understand all that, but
you know,
what happened now, again, with the seasons that we're going through in the last few years and the amount of losing, they were promised, the fan was promised, that with this new regime, they will start to get a winner. And I think this was going to be the 500 year, but now they've pushed it to next year. What if next year is not a winning season? What do you think is going to happen?
If they could at least spend part of the season out of last place, that would be a big plus.
Okay.
Have they lost six in a row now?
I think the real fan wants at least a 500 ball club next year.
Yeah, I bet.
They're 2-11 since they traded Samardzija.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to lose easily 95 games.
I don't know why. I still don't know why they traded Samardzija. He was a fabulous
pitcher.
Well,
because they keep saying they're getting these younger players for what they're doing now, and they've got to bear fruit next year.
Yeah. Well.
James, it says on the screen here, mad at Craig.
Who is mad at Craig?
Yes.
James here.
I'm mad at Craig.
I don't know what the hell this is about, but
who's
here we
Craig?
Go. First, who's Craig? I've already been called an a-hole for the way I'm treating Johnny. So this can't be bad. What else could happen?
Ursula!
Right.
Hey, Gary, I can't wait to see you on Thursday.
My family wants to know if this is on the up and up, if you're a-holes or if this is up on the up and up.
Yeah, because my cousin Noreen's a nun, and she wants to know if this is on the up and up.
James, now what? What is the problem?
I'm at a crack because last week I told you to play some more commercials on last Tuesday. Craig told me he's going to send me an email. He still has not sent me an email, so I'm really upset.
Told Craig to play more commercials about what are you talking about?
Because I want to advertise with you.
All right, we're playing commercials.
But I wanted my commercial to be up on your radio station.
Oh, I remember your call. He didn't give you a phone number?
He didn't give me a phone number. He was going to email me some information. He never emailed me, so I'm upset. So I would like to get one free ticket to go see you.
I can't do
Thursday.
That, but I'll tell you what I will do. I'll promote your business right now for free on this call. What is it?
redlightblocker.com. We stop red light cameras and speed cameras from reading your license plates.
Hey, now that's a company I could use.
And you do that how?
That came out. Basically, it's a license plate cover that goes over your license plate, and it distorts your license plate so the red light cameras and the speed cameras cannot see it.
Is that legal?
It is not legal.
It is not legal. Okay, James. Well, how do you do? You can't sell this.
It is not legal.
Oh, my.
What did you say? I got some drugs to sell.
It's a novelty item.
A novelty item, and that's going to play when you get a ticket.
Well, if you want to use it that way, but the law of that you cannot use a plate cover is hardly enforced, as it's
hardly enforced
on Channel 2 News. And other news agencies I've been with.
All right. Yeah. James, you know
does
where
it
that's
come
going.
With 6 days in jail.
And the fact is, I know now why Craig didn't give you a number, because they're not going to take that as an advertiser. It's not legal.
Oh,
Come on. James, thank you.
I have not had a ticket in the last 2.5 years.
Okay. We weren't attacked on September 10th. 2001 doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean it. I like when people go, "Well, we've been safe since." We weren't attacked prior to 2001, September 11th. And what do you say then? Huh? You big dope.
Get off my phone.
Thank you, James.
How dare you?
How dare you? Come around here,
big
you
dope monkey.
Oh. And I got a text. Somebody said, "Hey, I've had breakfast and lunch al fresco. I'm going for the hat trick and having dinner al fresco." That's what I did when I was on vacation. I did not eat one meal indoors.
Really?
No. That is my goal till November 1st.
Well, it's going to rain tomorrow.
In the afternoon?
Yeah, probably.
Afternoon? Before noon?
Well, the way it looks, it's probably early evening, but...
It may get wet. What are we going to do then?
Well, I think that's... I'm just trying to throw a little rain on your parade there. What?
Well, you've been doing that for about... What's this, the 12th day?
Yeah, pretty usual.
Hey, I'm good. Now I like Gary's show. You know, I look forward to this.
It's just Gary I don't like.
It's that part of it that kind of bugs you, doesn't it?
You know, now this brings me up, you know, after I get to, well, watch it, would you? After lunch and have a little chocolate, you know, and I'm kind of up on a buzz, and then I kind of come down and...
Waiting time for the show.
He crashes right about 3 o'clock. I think I'll crash.
Got that sugar crash.
Right into Meyer.
Yeah, now I could take a nap, and I'm on your show, and I'm up again,
doing
you know?
It now.
Yeah.
Vacation in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Been there.
And this text says that she's listening on her smartphone, raining there, listening to you outside.
Tell him to go see the battleship.
On a covered deck. That's Kathy from Romeoville.
Yeah, I tell her to see the battleship.
Where's that? What is it?
It's in Wilmington. It's the USS North Carolina.
Cool?
Yeah. It is cool. If you've never been on a World War II battleship, it's a guided tour. Or I guess you can walk around by yourself if you want to. And it saw action in the Pacific Theater. It is permanently moored there as a monument. And it's probably the only thing in Wilmington to see.
Okay. But, don't they do a lot of movies there? Don't they have some kind of big movie studio?
In Wilmington?
I think they do, yeah. I think North Carolina.
Well, North
I know
Carolina,
it sounds odd, but they have some big movie incentive or studio there.
It's
I'm
got great
positive.
Weather, if nothing else. Gary, I got a... bail on you for a little bit because traffic's become the news.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh.
This awful crash on I-55 northbound at Arsenal Road involving at least 3 cars and a semi. They're saying there are at least 3 people killed in this crash.
Oh, no. Isn't that
nobody's
where they're doing
through.
Construction? Haven't they been doing
They've been
construction
doing construction
there?
At Arsenal Road forever, but it doesn't look like this is in a construction zone per se. But at this point, nobody is getting through northbound on I-55. Looks like state police are taking most people off at River Road, and some of the other cars that were caught in between are being put into the southbound lanes, but I-55 completely shut down. This is south of I-80. Northbound lanes completely closed because of this awful crash. And so I will be back with more info in a little bit.
When did that happen?
Within the last half hour or so.
Okay.
Medevac helicopter just brought to the scene, too.
All right. I don't know the cause of the crash or anything. I've been talking for months about driving on these expressways and these people that are out of their minds, zipping in and out of lanes, going about 95, and that might not be the case here, but Jim, you've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just nuts. These people are in Fast and Furious 8 or 9 or whatever sequel we're on.
Yeah.
And one car stops suddenly, and then that's what happens.
Well, yeah, they will tailgate, no doubt about it. And they'll, if you're in the center lane, they shoot by on both sides doing 90.
Right. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
It says here at 312-521-8600, your callers and texters sound like they got a hold of your incense today. I have to tell you, I ran out of matches.
I was just saying you didn't incense today, did you?
And here's why. I ran out of matches on Friday.
Yeah.
And nobody has any matches. Nobody smokes in this group.
Yeah.
And I today grabbed what I thought were three books of matches from Pettorino's, the fine restaurant here on Dearborn and Randolph. I get them here. I open them up. They're toothpicks. They look like like match books, and I open they're toothpicks. So toothpicks. I can't light my...
Couldn't you rub them together?
Well, I didn't have that kind of time. What am I, Tom Hanks in Castaway? I know, Wilson. I got to have my incense. I know.
I'll bring in... I've got a bunch.
Oh, wait, we got matches.
Oh, now you got...
I got a bunch of matches. I grabbed these thinking, oh, these are matches. They're toothpicks.
Yeah, nobody has matches anymore.
No.
Used to go in restaurants, there was always an ashtray with a packet of matches in it with a company or restaurant name on it.
I guess that's not fashionable anymore.
I have a bin that my mom collected. I've got all these from Shanghai Lil's and all these places.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don the Beachcomber.
Yeah, I do. I have Don the Beachcomber.
Exactly.
Yes,
the old pump room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. They don't do that anymore. It's toothpicks.
Toothpicks.
So I'm going to light up tomorrow, and then I'll be out of... incense probably by the end of the week. Where do you buy incense?
I don't know.
Oh, I think a head shop.
Okay. Where are head shops anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, with
they're going to be coming soon.
Legalized marijuana, I understand they'll pop up again. You
probably
can't get it at
a new age store, though, right?
All right. Where's a new age store?
Oh, I don't know. Like, don't you think Bed Bath & Beyond might have
it? I don't know.
Why are you laughing? They probably do have it.
Yeah, because you put candles possible. Around your bath. You know, you put a little incense.
Yeah, but that's incense. I mean, who does incense anymore other than Gary?
Well,
I mean, that's...
I'll bet you there are a lot of people that burn incense.
Wiccans?
Wiccans, pagans.
Yeah,
I guess there is that. Yeah.
People that think there are evil spirits around them.
I just don't get
raising
out.
Raising my hand.
I don't get out enough.
You don't.
No.
It is time to get some fresh air, sir.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, I haven't even seen incense in, what, 40 years? 45 years?
I had this little box as I was moving my stuff into the new office, and I looked in this box, and, oh, it's incense, and there was a little holder for the incense, a little ceramic holder. I don't remember where I got it. I think I got it as some kind of part of a gift.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I had some matches, and I lit them up, and I thought, wow. And people would walk down the hallway, hey, what's that smell? Made them feel like they were in college again.
Yeah.
Except Marianne Murciano. She didn't like it.
No, she didn't like it.
Something
I always
wrong with
found
her.
It to be a little strong, you know?
No, well, it can't be, I don't think, any worse than the smell that permeates in other places.
Oh.
I mean, really. You get B.O. and things. It kind of blocks that out.
Well, I've got that nice, you know, old people smell.
That's your smell?
Jim That's my smell.
Jim
Yeah. You smell like salve or Old Spice.
Yeah. Liniment.
Do you wear a cologne?
No.
You don't?
No.
Don't believe in it?
I just haven't. It's one of those things that the only time I ever wore cologne was when I think I was 19. I'd get a date. You know, I'd put a little on. But,
a little high karate.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, you know.
Jade East.
Yeah, that's another one. There's another golden oldie there.
British Sterling.
British Sterling, Sterling. Yeah. But no, I haven't.
Jean Nate.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a woman's one.
Oh, is it? Oh, is it? Good. I didn't know what it was.
Tussie? You got a jar of Tussie at home?
I don't even know what that is. My wife keeps all that stuff locked up and stuff. You know, she doesn't. Maybe she's afraid I'll get into it.
Yeah, but, really.
But no, I don't. You know, I don't go sneaking around in her cabinet.
I think nice cologne is okay. I like to have a chance that I smell good all day.
You know, the funny thing about that stuff is that it seems to be cyclical. Like, it's really popular for, like, a couple of years, and then nobody wears it anymore. And then it comes back suddenly, and then it's popular
again. Well, I've been wearing it
again.
For decades. I started off back in the 70s with, I think it was it Jade East?
Jade East was
I think I started with that. And then Polo was for a decade.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
I went Polo for a decade.
That little green bottle.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Everyone
yeah.
had the little green
And then
bottle.
Somebody introduced me to what I'm wearing now, this Antaeus by Chanel. And I
never heard of it.
It doesn't matter. That's the one. So I've just been doing that for years.
Isn't that stuff flammable?
Okay, I'll keep my when I'm lighting my incense.
Yeah,
I won't put it near my neck. How about that?
That's a good idea.
The guy that smokes, he's worried about.
Well, exactly.
You know, we used to.
He must be aware of everything that's flammable.
Yeah, well, you know, when I was, I told you this once. I'm being bitten up by red bugs. I think we got into that story once a long time ago. That the cure that the doctor recommended was to actually bathe my arms and legs in aftershave lotion. That didn't help the itching, but it apparently shortened the amount of it.
How much aftershave would you have to get in a tub to... Really, that's a lot of aftershave.
Well, I didn't get in a tub with it. I just, you
just
know...
poured it over?
Poured it over me and rubbed it in, you
okay.
know.
Okay, but still.
It burned, but... Because that's actually a little tiny open wound. So it wasn't very comfortable, but it was better than that just terrible itching.
Catholics burn incense. Come on, Gare.
Yeah, I don't like that's not the kind.
That's not no. That's your.
That's like funeral incense.
That reminds
smell
me
either,
of
does it?
Exactly funerals and high mass, which yeah. is not what I'm.
That's just a little smoke kind of thing, isn't it?
Well,
it
has
a punk.
It has a real. Well, I think
it looks.
That's
like
where
punk.
I got into this when I was a kid. Punks were real big.
Yeah.
Or
oh,
pussy
yeah.
willows.
Yeah.
We would go
yeah.
down and find a pussy willow mm-hmm. and light that up, and
yeah.
we walk or. What do they call them? Cattails, too?
Yeah, cattails.
Yeah, yeah. They were called pussy willows, and they
uh-huh.
were big. Looked like a cigar, a furry cigar.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And we'd light
Watch
that
it.
Up. We'd light that furry cigar up
yeah.
and walk around like we were the cat's knees or the bee's knees or the cat's ass, whatever right. the proper thing was.
Wow.
And then they had punks at the store. We walk around,
right.
and then on the 4th of July, you'd light your fireworks off of the punk.
But your yeah. incense looked like punks.
Yes.
They were thin.
Exactly. These sticks that I have look like punks. I think that's the warm fuzzy I'm getting.
The ones I remember look like golf tees.
Yeah, sometimes they're short and stubby, like Jim is explaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not like thin like the one that you had.
Yeah, that's a good one. They were purple, like purple golf tees. That's what I remembered.
And it says on one of these texts that Walgreens sells incense.
There you go.
Really?
Walgreens is selling everything now, and they've got this new super modern Walgreens in the Wrigley building that just opened.
It's sushi there.
Sushi. I'll have sushi,
some incense,
some disposable diapers, and
some Oxycontin.
Oxycontin. Yeah, throw that in there. I don't have a prescription, but I'm feeling a little down.
You know, I bet on the trinket display at a gas station, you could probably find incense. You know, you
yeah.
see
yeah,
a lot of
people are texting right. and saying at yeah. these gas stations, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you always see these cigarette papers on the counter, you know, and
yeah.
probably incense in a little closed packet up there somewhere.
Let Jim know that the last time we were here in Wilmington, we did go to the battleship. It was really cool.
Yeah, isn't that cool? See, there's a site that you hadn't thought about, Gary, next trip out your vacation. Go to a battleship.
Battleship.
Yeah.
They have that in New York last year when we went and took that Circle Line tour around mm-hmm. the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Where I got out of the cab having just sat on a Hershey bar.
Oh.
You remember that story?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You don't, do you?
No.
No, you don't. Last year, we're in New York.
Didn't really want
to
hear it.
Jump in a cab to go take the tour. I get
yeah.
out. We're standing in line to get on the boat. My daughter goes, "You're not going to like this, but I've got these cream-colored pants on, and it's really
yeah.
hot." And she goes, "The back of your pants are all brown." I go, "Oh, what?" And then, as far as I could see, because you can't really see back there, it had the imprint of a Hershey bar. So somebody left a Hershey bar on the cab seat, and I sat in it. So then my dear mother-in-law said, "Why don't you see if you can get some wet paper towels? And I'll help you clean up here." So I'll never forget this image. If this didn't look like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So we go over to this picnic table off to the side. And here she is wiping my
yeah.
ass for about 10 minutes.
Oh,
then
boy.
In 20 years, your daughter will be doing that, too.
Hey-o! Woo!
She'll know what that brown stain is in the back.
Hey! Hey! Oh, no. Watch your mouth. You're not at home now.
Oh, no.
Who puts a Hershey bar on a cab seat? What kind of moron?
There's some guy laughing his ass off.
Yeah.
Going, ha, ha,
yeah.
I got him.
Oh, no.
I wonder, was it in the wrapper? You have no idea. You never saw it.
No, right? Otherwise it wouldn't have sat on it.
Oh. Well,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's a Hershey bar. I think I'll sit on it on a 95-degree day. Really, the sight of the two of us over on the side there, we must have looked really special.
I'm surprised you didn't get arrested.
Right. Well, what? New York?
Yeah, New York.
And people see that on every corner. They see worse.
Oh, no.
Big thing.
I got to do television in an hour. Stop.
You do? Just think of that when you're on camera.
No.
That image of my mother-in-law there wiping me. And
so are you bent over?
No, I was just standing. She was able. It was right above my pocket.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't right there. But still, if you were looking from, say, 30 yards away, it looked goofy.
Were you by a bush or something?
No, it was a picnic table off to the side by this little concession stand. But I guess the reason I brought that up, right next to where we caught the Circle Line tour, there is an exhibition. There's a...
Well, there was an exhibition.
Well,
right there.
There's another exhibition.
Right there. Oh,
no. They've got a Concorde, and there's another ship there that you can tour that looked pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of ship?
Looked like a battleship. It's a very famous one.
Yeah.
And then there's the Concorde that they got when they were decommissioned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's cool.
Family Dollar sells Mexican candles and incense.
Mexican candles. What does that mean?
Oh, you've seen them. A lot of grocery stores.
Oh, the ones in the jars.
And they have religious
with
images on
our
the
Lady
front.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yeah,
and all that.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the one. The jars.
Oh,
they come in the jars.
Yes.
Yeah. My dad bought all those when the possums died underneath the porch, and they couldn't figure out why their porch was smelling, and it was coming through the vent. And so I walked out. I came to their house one day, and there was all those. Those
candles?
Mexican religious candles all over the house. I said, what's going on? Like, well, there's this really bad smell.
We are very religious.
Yeah. We have found the Lord.
And did that do it?
No, not at all. I said, what are you doing? You're just masking the smell. Then I went underneath there, and there was a possum graveyard.
So this is now, when you connect the dots, this is the second time. That was the first time. The second time was when the house killed the raccoons.
Right.
That house is evil. Did you ever hear that story?
No.
Raccoons broke into his parents' house, which has been vacant for years, and died in there.
You're killing your international ratings, you know that.
What do you mean?
You just lost Morocco.
Caller 6 is Morocco, Jimmy.
And Belgium is thinking about it now. No, that's quite a lot of images.
Yeah, well, obviously the house is not... sweet on animals.
Well, I mean, they don't belong there.
No.
So why should they? Why the house is rejecting them? This is a place for humans.
There should be
not
wildlife.
No. Although I should have known because I remember now in retrospect, about 3 or 4 months before that, my dad told me that he killed a possum in the yard. You know, he hit it with a shovel.
Why?
Why?
Just why don't you just shoot?
I guess it wasn't shooing.
So he killed it.
Yeah.
And so then what did he do with it?
He must have put it in a bag. But they, what was happening was, I think, because there's a crawl space underneath the back porch, which does not have a concrete foundation. So they just probably dug under the back porch, the den, as it was called, just comes up onto the ground. So they just probably dug under there and got underneath this big crawl space, and that's where they were.
And they showed you. You kill our brother, we'll stink your place up.
Just cover them up with high karate.
Well, I think they were dying because they were eating the insulation.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I went underneath there, and there was about 5 skeletons.
And didn't you see one humping your hairpiece?
Well, there was one. as I was walking out, this thing was literally playing possum. It was sitting in a corner. And I moved my dad was storing some lawn chairs under there as well, and I just happened to move it as I was looking out, and there's this thing just looking straight at me.
Yeah,
and I
they
flew
got a
out of there, man.
Weird-looking snout there.
Oh, they have
and
those teeth.
We had one in our garage. It was in a spare tire.
Oh.
I walked in there, but I didn't do it. I just left the door open, and then it left on its own.
I don't think I've ever seen a possum up here.
And those tails?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
In your area, you're up there.
Way up there.
Moses left his slippers.
I used to see possums a lot in the South, but
I didn't even know they were
around here.
Oh, they're all over.
Raccoons? No, I've seen a lot of raccoons, but I haven't seen possums yet.
Possums are everywhere.
Don't you have a raccoon coat, Jimmy?
Me?
Yeah.
No, me? Well, I mean, you got all these people on microphones.
Who's that Howard Stern carried?
Beetlejuice.
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 Yeah. Me?
No.
Yeah. Me? No. During the winter, you come on camera with a raccoon coat. Oh, getting back to something I started about a half hour ago. Mm-hmm. If I had known the situation, although it probably wouldn't have worked because of the vacation, it would have been great to have Tom up on the 22nd floor doing the weather on Thursday.
Wouldn't that have been nice?
Those are the moments you got to go for because everybody's doing the weather, although you got a Tommy and a Jimmy.
Yeah.
But when you do stuff like that, when you guys came up to the 95th floor during Christmas and did the weather, a little different, huh?
I thought it was fun.
Yes.
Yeah, I really thought it was
fun.
But
the 22nd floor, what's not to like?
Don't know. Haven't been there.
Is it real complicated to move a camera out and do something outside
the studio?
Well,
you know, the funny thing is the weather would be perfect for that. Looking at sunshine, light east wind. You know,
70s.
Yeah, 70s. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Wouldn't sweat.
I try.
Well, it was a good idea. Although,
he was complaining the whole time how long it took him to get there, remember?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Me? You mean me?
Well, who else are we talking to?
It's Beetle Jim.
Beetle Jim. No.
Yeah. Oh, me?
He's Beetle. And he's fat as can.
I don't remember.
Yeah, who, me?
It didn't take me long. You know, I took a cab. It was not a big deal.
No. That one time you came... And
oh, that's the day it rained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took him 4 hours.
Well, he never leaves the house, so any trip seems long to him.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. If you're largely sedentary and, you know, you sit at home. And,
that's a real chore.
Yeah, sit in a chair, kind of sit.
Next time, arrange
it
so you and Mrs. R come down, you spend a night.
Yeah.
And do something. Get out of the Vanilla Village once in a while.
Vanilla Village.
Yankee Candle Store for incense sticks. They're in a lot of malls, right?
Oh, yeah. I've seen those places.
Yeah, if they don't have them.
Every place has it.
Yeah.
Because this whole new age thing is popular again.
Oh.
Can you go to your local head shops?
That's
still?
What I said.
Where
That's
are
exactly
head shops? What
I said.
If I had to guess, I'd think Old Town. But I don't even know if they're there anymore.
I can't think of a single one.
No. Back in the day.
Used to have a head shop on every corner.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day when Wall Street was hippie central, I bought a tie that had Uncle Sam on the front. On the back, it had F communism.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right. Right. Darn it.
Well, I wonder, would the stores that sell this medical marijuana, could they sell incense? I mean, do they just have to sell marijuana, or could they sell...
I'm sure they'll have all kinds of...
Like paper towels.
accessories. They're going to be like Walgreens. Sushi.
Target.
Come to think of it, there is a head shop. Not technically. It's a record shop, and you know, you can buy those Mexican hippie shirts and stuff like that. You know, those woven ones. Right in Westmont.
Yeah. Convenient Westmont.
Yeah. And I do believe they have pipes for smoking your tobacco.
Sure.
Hookahs.
And papers for rolling your own tobacco.
I hope they have a snack section, because if you're selling marijuana or any accessories, you must have fiddle faddle and Funyuns and all that, right? Just like they had at Blockbuster, they had that snack counter, because they knew you're getting a movie, you probably want a big box of
popcorn. Goobers and Raisinets.
Snow caps.
Yeah. They even had a...
I'm getting quite an education.
They even had a freezer if you wanted to get like some kind of popsicles.
Ice cream.
Really? That's right.
Yeah.
Ben, you see where they went.
And now they're good move.
Oopsie.
They should have spent more time on the movies.
It's all working for you.
I tell you.
That's why I thought it was odd when Starbucks started to sell CDs.
Which they don't do anymore. Really.
No, they do.
Oh, do
they're
they?
At the counter.
What
oh, yeah.
Kind of CD?
I thought, well, but
they don't have their own label.
Oh,
I don't think they have their own label anymore. But they were starting to get into, if we sell coffee, therefore we must be able to sell CDs.
You mean these are pop songs or just, you know,
no, these
background
are,
music? Or,
Paul McCartney released an album on the Starbucks label
a
few years ago.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of well-known people.
Hmm.
But stay with what you're known for, right?
Lattes,
and make more decaf, and have lemonade. That's all we ask.
Lemonade? Is that what you said?
Yes, because the Starbucks I went to when I was in Pennsylvania, 2 days in a row, they were out of lemonade. I'm going to give them my Arnold Palmer.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know what? I believe it is Dunkin' Donuts. They have a frozen Arnold Palmer, like a Slurpee.
Really?
Yeah. I saw the commercial this
weekend. Nice. I got to get one of those.
Frozen Arnold Palmer. I think it was Dunkin' Donuts. I'll have to look it up, but it was a frozen Arnold Palmer.
Wow.
And I got to get a pretzel dog from Auntie Annie's.
Right.
And a frozen Palmer.
Now, that's a meal.
Welcome to our world. If they had that in the Gaza Strip, I don't know what's in the Gaza Strip.
They should make a Gaza Strip mall.
They should, because they need to calm the hell down. Both Israelis and Palestinians. calm down.
Yeah, knock it off.
Lobbing back and forth gets nothing accomplished but more destruction and death. Thank you.
Mm.
Now I have to fly over there with John Kerry and talk to these people.
Or someone who resembles John Kerry, because I don't know who that guy is.
Mm. What do you mean?
Oh, have you seen his face? He's got some bad plastic surgery.
Really?
Yeah, something happened to his cheeks and his eyes. I feel sorry for him.
You do?
Oh. Well, yeah, because he wasn't a bad-looking guy, but he could tell he was always in the sun, and he was getting those wrinkles. And I think just before he became Secretary of State...
Sadly, all the places that a guy like that has to go to is in the sun.
I know.
All the crazy countries these days are in the sun. Yeah. That's why Hillary aged so much when she was Secretary of State.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He needs a big floppy hat.
Nobody's going to Siberia.
That would legitimize him.
He needs a hat like John Lennon wore in Help. Down in the Bahamas.
There you go.
As I call it in high school, that John Lennon Bahama hat. That's the way to describe it.
All
right, Jimmy, we're really taking up a lot of your time, and I don't want to.
I'm working while I'm talking to you.
Thank you for paying attention.
I am paying attention. I beg your pardon, but I'm making notes and stuff.
Let's bang out a script here. What do you say?
Oh, okay. I got it here somewhere.
All right. Tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Roll the music. Ready. This is script 1, July 21st, 2014. Jim Ramsey, 3, 2, 1.
I know you have a lot of choices for places to visit on vacation, but gosh darn it, why not pick Chicago? It's all going on here. Beaches, bullets, and bungalows. Okay, I just read that San Francisco is helping the homeless with a new bus that allows them to take a shower. The bus has been outfitted with 2 full private bathrooms and offers hot showers, clean toilets, shampoo, soap, and towels free of charge. We have some catching up to do in that department. We only have a local talk show host who wants to house the homeless in vacant mailboxes. We do, however, have open fire hydrants around the city that you can run through on hot days. Compared to a lot of other cities on the planet, Chicago is a paradise. I mean, how often do you say, "I'd love to go to Caracas in the summer"? This city is built for tourism. Most of the museums are lumped together. Michigan Avenue is promoted as only a mile long, at least the part that counts. And if kayaking on a body of water that is kind of icky but has great views, welcome to the Chicago River. So you have many locations to choose from when picking cities to visit, but only one stands out when it comes to making you feel like you're not some schlub who just got off the Greyhound bus from Ohio. Although we do have a very nice Greyhound bus station just outside the loop. And if you like meeting interesting people, that, my friend, is the place on a Friday night.
One take Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
And you were in it, too, man. I could feel it. I wanted to go to Chicago. I'm already here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to take a Greyhound bus.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah.
I wanted to open some fire hydrants.
That's our special. Maybe other cities do that, but during the summer... You'll see at least one on about every third block open.
Yeah, and heaven forbid if there's a fire, there's no water pressure to fight it.
Yeah, that's what they have to be aware of.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah,
I need some weather, too, oddly enough. Are you ready for that?
We're packing it all in here at the end, are we? Okay.
Hey, Jim, what's the weather?
Well, for tonight, mostly clear skies, Gary. Low temperature down to 71. Tuesday, a few clouds around, but the clouds will build late in the day. And in the evening, there could be some thunderstorms, possibly strong to severe. High temperature, 94. Wednesday, some morning storms, but then the skies should clear. High of 82. Thursday, high of 78, mostly sunny. And Friday, partly cloudy, high of 83. Saturday, more storms are possible. High again, 83. Currently, mostly sunny. O'Hare has 85 degrees. Midway, 86. The lakefront, 84. Wind southwest at 9, and the water temperature, 72. From the WGN Weather Center, this is Jim Ramsey.
And there's an air quality alert?
Yeah. What do they call it now?
Pollution Action Day.
Yes, it's an Air Pollution Action Day, as designated by the Illinois EPA. Yeah. It's for high levels of ozone.
Okay.
Which can irritate your lungs if you have breathing issues or heart issues. And ozone, is a triatomic oxygen molecule.
Used
commercially as an oxidizing agent in bleaches. But it is not good to breathe too much of it.
Okay, Jimmy, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Is that it?
Well, you can stay.
What time is it?
I don't know. What do you want? I mean, I don't know what your schedule is.
Oh, my goodness. I got stuff to do.
Yeah, it's 10 to 4. All right.
Okay.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, he didn't even realize it's 10 to 4. He started at 3.
Doesn't he go out at 5?
Yeah.
Now? Yeah.
Yeah. Soon to be four.
Oh, it is going to be four.
They're going to move that another hour, four to six.
So will Tom have to shorten his deal then?
I don't know. There have been feelers, and again, I hate when I get felt sometimes to take him off the 3 o'clock because
really?
He's too busy. And with that 4 o'clock,
yeah.
I hope not. Wow. That's why I'm trying to get us on CLTV in the first half hour so they'll get something.
What do you mean, actually broadcast the show?
The first half hour live on CLTV as we're doing it, because they already have, obviously, the camera there. We've got cameras. One is covered right now by a Ku Klux Klan hood. On Friday, the cameras in the studio have been covered with a paper cone, and the one looks like a KKK hood, so Leslie drew some eyes on it on Friday, and it's still there. So I don't know if Johnny likes it, didn't see it,
I don't think
doesn't
Johnny
care.
Just feels like home, maybe.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah, baby! Mark?
Meyer!
What up?
Hey, buddy. You know, when they bumped you off, it took me 3 weeks reading blogs and stuff to find out where you were. And now it's the best thing because I can listen to you all the time. I don't have to rely on the radio station or get you on my phone.
That's all you need.
Terrific.
So many ways.
Yeah.
Very easy.
And, hey, huh?
I'm waiting for you, buddy.
Oh, I was going to say, and the whole cast is just so super. I mean, it's better than listening to them blabberheads on the other talk shows, you know, the political ones. I mean, Ramsey and Skilling.
Yeah, they're the best.
Jimmy is a great foil, but I got to tell you, the secret weapon is Leslie. I haven't heard such an enthralling female voice on the radio since Skeeter Davis.
All right, Mark.
And that was a man.
And you know what she's saying? She's saying the end of the world. Remember that song? Don't let them know it's the end of the world.
All right. She gave me all them warm fuzzies, and when I hear Leslie now, it's the same thing. It's too bad I'm so old and she's so married.
Okay, Mark.
But I live to give you warm fuzzies.
That's it. You got it on the radio now.
Thank you.
Thanks,
I
Mark.
Keep enjoying it.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. Rolling Stones music has incense. Harlem Irving Plaza. The Hip.
Oh,
Is that still there?
Oh, that's my spot. That was where I bought all my records.
Still there.
Oh, still there. Yeah, I don't know how they're surviving. In the midst of the way music is today.
But they sell 12-inch?
They sell everything.
They sell 12-inch, 6-inch, 2-inch, 9-inch.
Vinyl's the new black.
Yeah, now vinyl's back.
See, they kind of weathered maybe, and now it's retro, and they're one of probably a few that sell vinyl.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of used places, but they sell the new version, like because now a lot of albums are coming out again on this 180-grade vinyl. Which are new releases, where there's a lot of old record stores where people have sold their record collections and you can pick up, you know, relatively cheap vinyl. But there's new ones at Rolling Stone. I don't think they sell resold albums. They sell the new kind of stuff.
Okay.
Which is funny because those albums that we bought in the 70s and 80s that cost $4.99 are now cost $20.99.
Should have kept them. If you did, smart move. Yesterday was the 45th anniversary of our first landing on the moon, and I'm embarrassed to say I had this conversation with my producer because I was talking about my next guest here, Tom Jones, a planetary scientist, veteran, astronaut, speaker, author, pilot, and he has authored the book Skywalking, an Astronaut's Memoir. It's been out for a while. And Mr. Jones, I said, hey, how many times have we landed on the moon? Coming after the anniversary yesterday, and I thought a couple, and he said six. And I was embarrassed that I did not know that, but I'll tell you why. We should know that. The space program should be one of those programs that we fund year in and year out. Don't cut the money. Keep putting money into it, because we have enjoyed so many things that have trickled down from the space program. We as just average citizens. And the money we put stuff into doesn't get us much reward. I don't know what I'm going to benefit from after Afghanistan or Iraq. But the space program, we can point to a lot of things. Is that correct, Mr. Jones? And welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gary. Yeah, I think you're correct. I think there's been a 50-year buildup of technical momentum and excellence that's come out of our investment in the space program, and we're still riding on the tail edges of Apollo's momentum. All the innovations in microcircuitry that led to the computer revolution was directly as a result of those improvements in the 1960s, those innovations. And if we want to continue to see that in the 21st century, we ought to be putting, as you say, a steady investment into space to realize not only technical achievements, but really make some fundamental discoveries about our solar system and our universe.
Those that would say, well, what am I going to get out of this? We put all that money in the space program, and this has been the criticism that I've heard. I don't have any plans to go to the moon or Mars. I don't know how that helps me. I don't want my tax dollar going to that. But as I said, and as you've just confirmed, it is stuff that we benefit from because the research they put into the space program does become pedestrian stuff for the most part, or a lot of it, that we wouldn't have otherwise.
Well, we have a great example of that in the International Space Station, which I helped build with my fellow shuttle crew members. And the laboratory work going on there right now is leading to vaccines, for example, for pneumonia and for salmonella food poisoning. So we're actually addressing down on Earth, down-to-Earth concerns with research in space. Then you move beyond that. We're talking now about, in the next 10 years, mining asteroids and getting materials and water out of asteroids that can lower the cost of space exploration, but actually create an industrial park in space. So think about an expanding economy for America in the 21st century located between the Earth and the Moon. And there's a big payoff from that. You could go to work there, but you could also reap those economic benefits and the technological competitiveness that will come to our economy from those investments in space.
It seems like every other month I'm reading about another country that is planning to go to Mars or the moon or whatever, and that's why we're getting lapped on so many other things. That's why we're falling behind in our economy. We sit here and these other countries go, okay, we'll take over and we'll do that stuff, and we've got to stay competitive, as you mentioned.
Well, you know, the investment that we make is about 0.4% of the federal budget into NASA every year. You know, just a pittance compared to some other spending categories. You know, the stimulus that we spent $850 billion on in 2009, I believe, that was 40 times the NASA budget. So we could have run NASA for 40 years on that stimulus package that we spent. So other nations recognize the value in being a leader in space. The Chinese clearly have. They're headed for a space station and perhaps a man landing on the moon in the late 2020s. We don't have to race them. We don't have to repeat Apollo 11, but we do need to set our sights higher than we have in the last 20 years. So we need to go beyond the space station, get astronauts out into deep space following the robot explorers that we've had out there. And I think the asteroids would be a good first step. If we find valuable resources on the moon, we can follow those up as well. And eventually, I think that'll lead to missions to Mars in the 2030s.
The people I've talked to that have watched a launch at Cape Canaveral say it is unlike anything you can ever witness. I've got to do that sometime. And I've been involved in talks about broadcasting from Cape Canaveral. But if there's a delay, it's hard to say it's going to happen when it's scheduled because sometimes there's a weather delay. But one day I got to get down there. And please explain what it's like that first time you launched in a space shuttle. What does that feel like?
It's incomparable. What a privilege to represent America as a space shuttle crew member, as an astronaut. The first time I got strapped into the shuttle Endeavour, it was the culmination of almost 30 years of working towards that goal. So you can imagine the tension built up, the anticipation. I was the only guy on the spaceship who had not been to space before. My other five crewmates had all been there. So I was really eagerly looking forward to the physical sensation of the engines starting up. It's like being in a skyscraper during an earthquake. And then as the boosters light and kick you free of the Earth, you realize you're embarking on an extraordinary voyage. And it didn't disappoint in any way. The physical exhilaration of the launch, the 3 G's of acceleration, and then being weightless in space for a total of 53 days on those four flights, and the incomparable view of the Earth. I would recommend that everybody try it when space tourism begins to expand in about the next 5 to 10 years. And it'll be possible for a lot more people than just professional astronauts to go there soon. I think that's one of the greatest developments in the last 5 or 10 years.
What do you think of an Elon Musk who has now entered into a private funding of space programs? And it looks like this guy could go far and even maybe to Mars, they say.
It's a great thing that we've got two competitors, both flying cargo missions to the International Space Station for NASA. So NASA basically has FedEx, UPS kind of service to the space station via Elon Musk's firm and also the Orbital Sciences Corporation. They both fly cargo ships. And there are three companies in competition for the NASA contract to take astronauts there. And this has been funded far too slowly by the President and Congress, you know, where it's going to be three more years till we get astronauts flying out of the Cape again. And that could be shortened considerably if the President would just put more priority and more funding behind that effort. But that will lead eventually to the routine transports of the station going over to private services that NASA contracts for, leaving NASA free, I hope, to get to Mars. Now, Musk has some great innovation and world-shaking company, but I don't think he can do Mars by himself. It's a very difficult technical problem. I think that NASA is still, along with its international partners, likely to get there first.
That rover that's on Mars, the most recent.
Mm-hmm. Curiosity.
The amount of imagination that went in to develop that, when you see that, sending pictures back. I mean, really, we take this stuff for granted. When I was in grade school, we would all go to an assembly hall to watch a launch. That's how important it was, and now we're pretty blasé about all this.
We are blasé. You know, it's become an accepted part of America's fabric to have a presence in space. We had 30 years of the space shuttle. Everybody grew up on that. Some of us remember Apollo 11 and that wonderful moment when everybody around the world was an American during that mission. And I think that's one of the benefits. America's standing in the world benefits from having American pioneers out there on the frontier, both robots and then humans, I think, nearby asteroids, maybe on the moon, certainly on the way to Mars in the next couple of decades. And if we lead that effort, we will be respected as those people who stake out a pioneering, frontiering spirit. And I think that's really important for us in terms of inspiring young people to go into the toughest fields in science and engineering. And those are the people who are going to solve our problems back here on Earth.
I always look at it like this, Tom. We went from the Wright brothers to the moon in 66 years. That's pretty amazing.
And, you know, we haven't improved in aviation the same way that first 66 years went. But there are still some great steps forward that we can take. I think in the next 10 years, if we accelerate our funding for NASA, even modestly, we could have astronauts in deep space around the moon on their way to a nearby asteroid by the early 2020s. That would be a very good first step towards Mars. If we find through our robot explorers that there's resources on the moon that we need to send people down there for, all to the better. But I think we can actually get to Mars with stepping stones to the asteroids, then out to the moons of Mars, and then Mars itself. And out of that kind of an adventure, that kind of a trailblazing effort, we can discover whether life ever evolved on Mars. And, you know, I think that's a pretty fundamentally important discovery to make. And if the people who make that discovery are Americans, then I think that will stand us very well in history's look back at us.
So what is your best guess as far as John Q. Citizen going into space? You have your Richard Bransons, and as we mentioned, Elon Musk. What's the timetable you think that's realistic here?
Well, Branson keeps promising it'll be next year. Next year it'll be the time we go into space.
But that's, that's the Cubs. 5 years. Tom, that's the Cubs to get to the World Series. That's next year.
Now, he's saying that by probably 2015, he will have suborbital, sort of Alan Shepard-type rocket shots for tourists paying $250,000. I would wait until about 10 years from now when we have orbital tourism. These companies that take NASA astronauts to the space station will be able to offer orbital tickets to citizens who are willing to pay several million dollars. You know, right now the Russians charge about $30 million. So I do think within 10 years you'll see American companies offering orbital flights, maybe to even an American-based hotel that will, you know, be a several million-dollar trip, but that cost will come down with competition. So that era of opening up space flight and orbital experiences to ordinary Americans is in the next 10 to 20 years, I think. You're going to see hundreds of people going into orbit.
So the next launch of anything you said with funding is 3-plus years away?
NASA's current schedule, late 2017, for sending astronauts up from Cape Canaveral to the space station. That could be accelerated. I think with the Russian troubles we're having, that should be our policy, is to bring that date closer so we don't have to rely on the Russians to get us to the space station.
Is that the President or Congress that controls that funding?
The President has to propose more, and the Congress has to back him. Right now, he's not proposing an aggressive enough schedule, and the Congress has not been overriding his proposal and speeding up that schedule. So both of them need to work together.
All right, Tom, I appreciate your time. I'm on board. I don't know what I can do, but I'm a big supporter of the space program. I don't know. We spent $2 trillion in Afghanistan, Iraq, whatever. And I don't know if I'm going to get anything out of that.
Now, $20 billion a year is a cheap investment in our future, and it's very affordable, and we should be doing it more and more every year.
All right. And my brother had a mock-up of the space station. He worked in a place that had the space station, and he took it home, and then he put it in a storage locker, and somebody took it. So he had his own space station. I was looking forward to walking through it, and now it's gone.
Well, that's a sad story, but you can look up in the night sky. Check out my website, astronauttomjones.com. You can look up when the space station will be overhead and see it yourself.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, bye-bye.
Tom Jones, astronaut.
For somebody that is so clearly excited and interested in air and space, you really need to get to the Air and Space Museum.
I will do that.
You really
have. Right after I see Million Dollar Quartet.
But you really do. I mean, they had, you know, he said he did something with the space station. He created it or something?
He helped build. Yeah. Yeah. How about
that? Because they have Skylab up there in the air and space. You can walk through Skylab.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff.
I mean,
and these other countries, I just read, I think, that Dubai is going to try to go to Mars. Well, we're going to get lapped with these other countries, and that's what's happening in a lot of other areas right now. We've got to step up, do what we do best, and lead.
Well, first of all, it's disgusting that we don't know as a society. Our educational system is horrible in that we should know, just like we know about George Washington and the cherry tree and Abe Lincoln, who was so honest.
Six moon landings.
We should know every man who not only went on the moon, but every man who went into space. They are heroes.
That's it. I can't name.
I mean, that's disgusting. We know
a couple.
We know Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and even this, Michael Collins, who was the guy who didn't get to land. He was in the
mine,
he was flying around while they went there.
He was in the mothership.
And he's kind of the third wheel. And then we know Jim Lovell because of the Apollo 13 movie.
Right.
And
then we know John Glenn. But priorities. It's in anything. You prioritize the right stuff, and no pun intended, and things happen in the right direction. But we're prioritizing a lot of bad stuff, I think. Just a waste of money.
And somebody needs
no reward
to step up like Kennedy did and just said, here's the task.
Within 10 years, we will land on the man on the moon.
And who knows?
And we did. He wasn't around to see it, but we did it.
And who knows if that was even possible? And who knows if they did that by the skin of their teeth, but he forced them to do it?
As I said to Tom from the Wright brothers, that canvas wooden plane they put together, we went from that to the moon in 66 years. And there was somebody from the New York Times watching the Wright brothers fly their gliders, and he wrote, after watching these guys, man will not be able to fly for 500 more years. Right. And here we are. We just take it all for granted because we're not going to have a parade every day because we do something aeronautical. But when you stop and think about what it does, all of those things that go into making the space shuttle, how does that thing hang on the rocket?
Right.
How do you clip that on there?
How does that
work?
And how does it release then?
Yeah.
I mean,
and it's a ball of flames on rocket fuel, and it seems to work more often than it doesn't.
I mean, but it is sad. We should, considering that it's been 45 years since we touched the moon the first time, we should be much farther along.
Yeah, we were the first.
We just totally just abandoned.
Well, again,
that.
We put our energy in the wrong thing. Yeah. And how many times have your parents told you that? If you just reapplied that energy, you'd be fine.
My mom you could tell that people of that era, when that happened, thought that this was going to be the most, and it was the most incredible thing.
Like it would be the Jetsons after that.
Because I went through a lot of her stuff, and she kept all the newspapers.
Yes, magazines, Life magazine, the astronauts on the cover.
This was unbelievable.
That was our focus.
Yeah.
We don't focus on that good stuff anymore. 312-521-8600. Around 6 o'clock, I'll give away the final five pairs of invites to the Thursday broadcast on the 22nd floor of the Tribune Tower. And that show will air from 3 to 7. There was some talk that there was an engineer shortage, but we got something worked out, so it will happen from 3 to 7. No time delay, tape delay, whatever. So that's the deal. And I can only bring up about 30 people. That's why only 15 pairs will be given away. Johnny from Michigan is on board, got all of his expenses taken care of. I got to figure out if you're going to pick up Joe or somebody's going to pick up Joe. So you are possibly going to pick her up, right?
I guess.
don't wear her out on the way here, because the two of you get talking, and then it's, wow. So we'll figure that out. Anyway, whatever of the whack pack I can get down here, I will do that.
Did she say she was available?
What is she doing?
I don't know.
You mean as far as...
Sometimes she has to go to the grocery store.
So I have to sit at home, go to the local tavern, the grocery store, or go downtown if somebody picks me up. What do you think she's going to pick? Right?
I guess. Well, I'm just saying, make sure that she's aware that, you know, she needs to know if it's on the up and up.
Yeah. I did, as I mentioned to Jim Ramsey earlier, I did think that Wrigley looked old on Saturday night. Maybe it was the lighting. I don't know. But the gray old lady looks very gray and old. And I don't know if those banners that are...
They don't help.
...touting the 100 years, it doesn't look... I don't know what it is. It just doesn't do anything.
What covers up looking inside...
Well, that chain link fence, that looks like a prison yard. I have to tell them that doesn't work either, but...
Yeah. It's time to do something.
But then I asked you if Fenway Park has a parking structure nearby, and they don't either, right?
No, Fenway is very similar to Wrigley. It's not plopped in a residential neighborhood like Wrigley is, but it sort of is. There are streets. It's a little more industrial. It's in Brookline. It's just outside of Boston, but it's certainly surrounded by a few side streets, which they, like Wrigley wants to do, they've closed down and created this whole big kind of walking mall where you can buy stuff. But around it, it's kind of, there's a highway right there, and it's not very,
and that,
you know, kind of
you've been inside
friendly.
The park.
Oh, yeah, a couple
that
times.
Green monster just looks like a big,
you know,
piece of plywood.
It's really, when you first walk in, it's almost like when you walk in the first time to Wrigley, when you walk up those stairs, and as you walk up the stairs, you see that ivy, and you go, ooh, cool. And it's the same way here.
Ooh, papa.
Yeah. And it's so you walk in and you see the big green monster. First of all, it is so close to home plate that when you walk in, you almost feel, if you're at home plate, it doesn't feel that far away at all. And it is just this giant thing.
Just
and after
a piece of green.
Yeah. And then after a while, you know, you first look at it and it's like probably the Grand Canyon. For the first time, you go, well, there it is. And you take all these pictures and
then go,
it's just a big green wall. It's a cool park. They've done a really good job of updating it, and as I said before, doing the whole thing with the around the park and creating a an atmosphere. But at the end, it's just kind of like okay, there's a, you know.
But they got all the improvements they wanted.
Oh yeah,
okayed by the city of Boston.
Well,
and they did the okay. You don't want to do this because they were getting a little blowback.
Right.
We've got some other locations. Oh no! You can do what you want. Sorry, we didn't mean to do that.
I mean, the thing, to your point about the way this looks on the outside, I don't know what they're going to do to the outside. Are they changing the outside? The facade?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think I saw any of that.
So all the improvements, right. It's still going to look...
A couple scoreboards. The outside is still going to look like a prison yard. It's looked like Shawshank Redemption Dose. That outside, I don't care if you're a dyed-in-the-wool, hard...
Diehard fan.
A dyed Cubs fan, hard, whatever you are. Meh. But some people like that. That's kind of, that's the way it was.
And it actually does look like a prison when you think about it, because from what you see on Addison and Clark, not only is there chain link fence, but there's just those big, long, circular concourses, so people are just walking in lines like they're going to the yard.
Exactly. They're bringing a little dirt in their cuff.
I mean,
to the parking lot.
If they had
what
orange,
parking lot?
If people had orange jumpsuits as they walked through there, you wouldn't tell the difference.
So
we need one of those poncho days and just have everybody in orange ponchos like they did with the white ponchos that made everybody look like KKK members at the Sox game.
Don Knotts would be 90 today.
Well,
if he was alive,
well, Shakespeare would be 500.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that mean?
Well, Don had a better chance of being 90 than Shakespeare reaching 500.
Well, you know.
People care about as far as 500, the Cubs, next year, they have to be 500.
It will not be 500.
And while we were waiting to pick up our daughter and her friend from Blake Shelton, a guy comes up to the car. I was in the passenger side, right? And he starts talking. I thought it was Ronnie Woo Woo.
No.
And so I start engaging him.
Oh, no.
And then
the outfit?
No.
Oh, well, that what was, are you doing?
I don't know. Why would right? Why would I think?
If he doesn't
but
have
he looked
uniform.
Just like Ronnie.
Well, that's
what?
That's pretty racist.
Okay, that is not. Ronnie has a distinct look, and this guy's face. I swear to God, if Ronnie doesn't watch out, this guy's going to take his ass.
How many teeth did this guy have?
He had all his teeth. Okay. Ronnie's got new teeth.
Oh, that's true.
Yes. So we started to talk, and I realized this is not Ronnie Woo Woo.
If he doesn't have the uniform at a Cub game,
because the guy was asking for money, as it turns out, so he pretended like he knew me too. Then I got
Gary Woo.
Gary.
Yeah,
I thought it was Ronnie W, but it's not.
I mean, and. Ronnie does not forget a Cub game. We've seen him in the winter here with the Cub uniform.
Yeah, he's always in that uniform.
So there's no way, whether it's a concert, if there's something at Wrigley, he's got the uniform.
But if this guy wanted to, he could be a Ronnie.
Well, then would
guy.
The Cubs sue him too? Like because
they're suing the other false mascots paraded before us.
The false Ronnie, the false Woo Woo.
Their mascot, the fake one, is called what is it?
Clark.
No. The fake ones are called
Billy.
Oh, Billy the Club.
Billy Cub.
Billy the Cub.
Billy the Club.
Yeah.
Billy the Club.
Billy the Club. Cubs are suing.
Well, that's the guy. Remember a few months ago when one of the guys got into a fight at a bar?
Right. He got his head pulled off.
Yeah.
So the Cubs are trying to squash that. Apparently, these fake mascots go around and ask people to pay them to take pictures, and the Cubs obviously don't want that.
Well, Clark is an outgrowth of those guys. Because this has been going on for 2 or 3 or 4 years, that this guy and then his brother was the one that got into a fight. But this guy has been walking around the park with this bear
out. As Billy the Cub.
As Billy the Cub for the last 2 or 3 years taking pictures. And it almost to the point where, especially out-of-town people, which...
They wouldn't know.
No. So they assume this was Cubs.
Does this guy go to the furry conventions, too?
I don't know.
Because he could qualify for a furry.
Yeah.
Double duty, absolutely.
So then the Cubs were getting a little angry because this guy was kind of working them and not saying that he wasn't with the Cubs, but not saying he was either, just kind of playing it, and people were throwing him a couple bucks. So they created Clark, I think, to get this guy out of business, and he still not went out of business, so now I think they're taking him.
Does Clark ask for money?
No.
Lisa,
no.
I need to buy pence.
Just a little
a guy called last time Leslie was in saying that he is soothed by Leslie like he was soothed by Skeeter Davis.
Yeah, who's Skeeter Davis?
She did that song, The End of the World, the most successful crossover song in history. Number two pop, number two country, number one easy listening.
What year is that?
Plus, if you can believe it, number four R&B. That's from guess who?
Probably, what, 60?
Matt, the trivia guy.
67, 68.
Oh, no, it was early 60s.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
David.
I think she was a one-hit wonder, but at least you're compared to somebody.
Hey, with that kind of one hit, but that's not bad.
What a hit.
Biggest crossover ever.
And it was called what? What's the name?
End of the World.
Should we play that? I never heard
of it. More apt today than 50-some years ago. Seems like we're closer.
It ended when you broke.
Gary Meyer on the 50 million watt streamliner, .fm. Who names their kid Skeeter? I hope that's short for something or a nickname.
Especially a woman.
That's
I thought it
name.
Was a guy.
Skeeter Davis. Skeeter Dunn.
Skeeter
Dunn. Skeeter Dunn. 312-521-8600. That is the text and the phone number.
She probably buzzed around like a mosquito.
Something like that. All right, I have a number of places to get incense now.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty much just walk across the street to Walgreens.
Well, that's the easiest.
And stock up.
Although I do remember the addition to Rolling Stone Records, which someone mentioned at the Harmon Irving Plaza, there was a record store that I used to go to at Six Corners in Chicago near Cicero and Milwaukee, and they had to be totally smoking marijuana.
Totally?
Yeah. Because there, when you walked in, the incense smell just hit you as soon as you walked in the door.
Well, they sold it. They probably wanted to get people.
And they were always going in the back. Half the time, there was nobody in the store.
Somebody sent me a text to that effect and said, and it might have been that record store, that some person went in there and would just take records because there's nobody at the counter. So they figured, why bother to pay for anything?
This place was called Sounds Good, and it was perfect because it was right on Irving Park Road, right near Cicero, Six Corners. But it was kind of there were four stores right on the street, but these two stores, you walk down. So two were on the level and two were down. So this record store was subterranean. So it was hidden right off the bat. So if anybody, the cops or anybody, you had to walk down these stairs to get in there. And then as soon as you open this door, boof. And as I said, half the time those guys, I'm thinking back, I'm going,
all right,
they had to be going in there.
And just, well, you're working at a record store. I mean,
and this is like, we're talking mid-70s. This is right in the sweet
spot. Clientele that would be totally in your wheelhouse of, hey, man,
right,
let's have a good time.
Oh, definitely.
Who's going to complain?
I only can only imagine what else was going on in that store. But they had great prices.
Here's a text. What would your show be if the management actually did everything you wanted? You'd be bigger than the Pope. I don't think that would happen, but I don't really want that much.
No?
What do I want?
I don't know.
Just a
exposure.
Couple.
Exposure.
A billboard to promote the show.
A few billboards. A couple of engineers.
It's nothing too extravagant. I wouldn't say that's out of the question to get, right?
No.
Wouldn't it be funny if Wrigley Field ends up looking like Soldier Field?
Putting something right in the bowl there.
Because they'll put stuff that's modern against the stuff that's 100 years old, and it might look out of sync. Although the photos seem to have it very compliant to what... Is that a word?
Yeah.
Compliant?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound right when you say it sometimes. Compliant.
Well, it's compliant. I don't think the word that you're looking for is compliant. I think you're looking for...
The word would be everything looks architecturally sound.
Well, that's not it either.
That's not it either. That's two words.
I know the word you're talking about. Sounds complimentary.
Like complimentary to the...
To the way the architecture, the vintage look.
Right.
Exactly.
That's there from 100 years ago.
Yeah. Now, so Soldier Field was not a landmark?
Well, even if it is, they didn't tear anything down. See, that's how you get around some of this stuff. You can't tear it down. And you just shove new architecture in, and it's still there. The columns are still there. We didn't touch anything.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I thought... You know, the thought process was, who cares? Just let's build something and take those colonnades down. But I wonder if they could have. Maybe they could.
I don't know about its status.
Because that landmark stuff, that's the thing that would Wrigley Field is the scoreboard and the ivy and that red sign in the front you can't touch.
Right. Everything else, you could do whatever you want. The funny part about the building I'm broadcasting in, the Tribune Tower, only the front part of the building is landmark.
What?
I found that out because I noticed when the restaurant went in on the first floor, Howells and Hood, they changed all the windows so they could open the windows and people could sit outside and all that. And I said, wait a minute, I thought this was landmark. And somebody said, it's only landmark to the point of the entrance of the restaurant. The back half of the building, they don't give a crap about.
How funny.
So the front part is.
So it ends right at your window.
Where my office is now.
Yeah,
I'm landmarked.
You're landmarked.
They can't do anything. But beyond that, do what you got to do. Although they did put in windows that blend well with the rest of the building. It's not like they put in French doors with gold handles and it sticks out. It's the same style, but they're bigger windows. But I did ask because I thought you can't touch anything. And then I was told, and I asked because we tried to do some stuff in the studio downstairs in the windows, and they said you can't do that because it's a landmark building. And you can't put anything outside for the most part. It has to be very much within the style of the building to do inside.
Just the front.
So I wanted to put one of those signs you see at gas stations, open or whatever, open 24 hour, whatever. No, I'm kidding. But I couldn't even put anything in the window that lit up.
Oh, right.
Including myself. So I had to not drink or anything.
Right. And so they consider the front of the building up until that window.
Yeah. Because the building's.
It's a weird.
Does change. It does have a lower amount of floors and everything, and it changes there. And they figured, well, we want to have some kind of wiggle room to make money. So we'll just say the front half of the building is landmark. That's all that anybody sees.
Well, do you come in the front door?
Yes.
Off of Michigan.
Is there a back door?
Well, there's a loading platform.
Yeah,
but
no.
You don't come there.
No, that's for people like you that are hideous.
Well, the funniest thing, this must be one of these things where they don't know where else to put it. But you should look back there sometime when you leave out of there. There's a huge model. Do you ever see the big model that's in a case of
yes,
the Tribune?
Of what they wanted. The original.
Yeah.
Which had a lot of parts that aren't on here now.
Yeah, they had big, grand designs for this.
They did a contest to design this building. They had a contest. So I don't know how many entries they got, but if you Wikipedia the Tribune Tower, it was a contest.
Because there's like several other towers connected and buildings here and in that model that
never got put in.
So I wonder if those all would have been like on Pioneer Court. Because where else could they have gone?
Probably.
Yeah.
As far as the billboard goes that I wanted when I was on the AM, I wanted the billboard to say, not FM-ish, more AM-ish.
Right.
And I'd have an Amish hat on. Text says, Gary Meyer, not AM-ish. .fm-ish. Your billboard slogan isn't so good anymore, is it? No, not going to work on this.
Although the possibilities playing off the stream are endless.
You could go some way with the stream.
Yeah, the stream would definitely have some risque stuff that you could have fun with.
I'm a streaming heterosexual.
There you go. Right
something
on.
Like that. Yeah, I'm sure that'll get approved.
You're just spitballing. And that came right up.
I'm going to workshop it, run it up the flagpole, see if anybody salutes, a lot of that stuff. How about that story, sad story, that girl that got shot over the weekend? She was at a sleepover.
Yeah.
And she's in somebody's house, and she gets shot and killed. And if anybody says she was in the wrong place at the wrong time on that one, I want to know what the wrong place was. You're in somebody's house.
And a sleepover.
Yeah. Is that the wrong place? They always go with anything like this. Wrong place, wrong time. No, no, no. Unless you're kidnapped and brought somewhere, you're in the right place, wrong time.
Well, a community activist I saw on the news was saying, we need to find out who was the target in that house.
So if there's another target, then it's okay.
Yeah, he's making it sound like it
was. They always do that. Like this guy that was shot at the bus stop. He was not the intended target. That makes everything much better.
It's okay that someone shot in the house. It's just that it's bad that they shot the
girl.
They
got the wrong person. Stop. That doesn't make any sense either.
And she was supposed to go. Oh, then you hear all the backstory. She was supposed to go to a church picnic the next, there was like a whole, on Sunday because she got shot Saturday night. She was sleeping over, and they were going to go. The whole group was going to go on this church out. It's like,
the sadness just piles up.
Yeah.
The Russian government has reportedly been trying to tamper with the Wikipedia page relating to the Malaysian Airlines MH17 flight. A Twitter bot that keeps watch on Wikipedia pages edited by Moscow spotted major changes to an entry about the crash. A Russian language page originally said that the plane was shot down by terrorists of the self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic. So how do you say that? D-O-N-E-T-S-K? Donetsk?
Sounds right. You're German.
This is Russian.
Okay.
This was subsequently changed to was shot down by Ukrainian soldiers.
Yeah.
So now they're going back and forth on the Wikipedia page.
Well, the Russians, apparently, I saw over the weekend on one of those news shows, it was the Russian government that was initially telling the Russian people about this story about that they were trying to shoot down Putin's plane.
Right, that was going around.
But that was coming from the Russian government news agency.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that wasn't just some crazy rumor.
Yeah, he was coming back from somewhere, and that was the original report that they were trying to shoot his plane down.
Yeah, but that was a report that was created by the Russian government to make it look like
exactly that it
they
wasn't
were victims.
Them.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, hey, they almost shot down our president.
Ugh.
That's not us. Why would we shoot down our own president?
And now do you hear that these rebel guys, they control the site.
Right, they won't let people in, they've taken some of the bodies somewhere.
They're moving stuff.
Yeah.
They're looting. They're taking, like, the possessions of all that they're finding. And apparently half of them, three quarters, John Kerry said, they're all drunk.
Yeah, these Russian separatists.
Yeah, that are overseeing the site. They're drunk. They're letting the investigators, the first day they let them.
For three hours.
No, first day, 75 minutes.
Yeah, and then I think they got three hours, and then that was it.
I mean.
Bunch of idiots.
So the whole area is contaminated now in terms of finding out what happened. Plus, they were taking the bodies away, and so now the loved ones don't even get a chance to...
Yeah, this is just bad all over. Ugh. And I think the Dave Clark song that emphasized that, bad all over. Might have to redo that. I can't do it, but if there's somebody else who can redo it, bad all over. That's our new theme song, because it is. And if you don't think that's bad all over, then you got that Palestinian-Israeli... fracas going back and forth now.
Well, and, you know, like Netanyahu said, you know, everybody's complaining because there's a lot of civilian casualties, you know, Palestinian civilian casualties. And he's saying, well, yeah, but Hamas is putting all their stuff in these areas that are highly populated with civilians for this exact reason. They're putting these tunnels.
Yeah, but just lobbing back and forth. What is the even Steven score? Yeah. Then we all, okay, now we're even and done.
Yeah, no, there's...
There's no end to it, because it's going to be, okay, you do that, we do this.
I don't know how the heck that ever gets... That, well, it doesn't get resolved, because it's never been resolved. It's biblical.
All right. 312-521-8600. We're going to have to send a check to... What's that guy on NPR...
Ira Glass.
What's his show?
Is he? No, he's not. All things considered. No, he's.
I'm American, and you're not.
Yeah, I don't remember. He's got
some show like that.
Is he All Things Considered? I don't know.
No, it's something else.
Okay.
It's called something. America's.
I'll look it up.
America's My Cup of Tea, something like that. I read where he said that NPR was paying him too much money, and he wanted to give some of it back.
Oh. Good.
That's that broadcasting that's public for you. Come on, just take a tote bag.
Ira.
Bob, you're just listening on hold. That's your bag, right?
Yeah, maybe you got a different producer today. I don't know. I usually talk to a girl. Sorry.
Yeah, that's Erin. She's back tomorrow. But you want to just listen on hold.
Yeah, it just saves me the megabytes extra I pay every month. I'm sorry.
No problem. No, he did. I just glanced. I saw Bob, and then I see listening through phone. You do that quite often. All right.
I know I do. I sure appreciate it, too. Nope. I would listen to you anyway, trust me.
All right, thank you. No problem. I'll put you on hold.
Okay, buddy. Bye.
All right, Bob on hold.
Yeah, This American Life.
This American Life.
Yeah.
See? Yeah, I read where they gave him a raise, and then he said, oh, that's too much. That always helps in the scheme of things. That's too much.
When did capitalism become
when
a dirty
that,
word?
What is that? That's bad now? I thought that's why we live here. Well, that's too much money. You don't want to pay me that. Then it said in the same breath, because he lives in New York, that in order to afford this place he bought, which is $1.2 million and 900 square feet, he goes out and he does speaking engagements.
So he doesn't take
I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. You just gave back money because you said they're paying you too much, and now you got to go out and do speaking engagements to pay your rent. What gives here?
Did you see 60 Minutes yesterday?
Yes.
About the pledge?
The billionaires?
Yeah.
That are giving at least $500 million of their fortune to charity?
I love, what's his name?
Buffett.
Buffett, when he says... Yeah, I called a lot of billionaires, and they turned me down.
Some turned me down.
They don't want to.
They just hung up on me. If you can't live on $500 million, then maybe somebody should be managing your account better.
Well, he said, I'm going to write a book, How to Survive on $500 million. Yeah. He goes, clearly some people can't do it.
Hey, it's their money.
Yeah. How about the woman that...
did Spanx.
She's in... I mean,
she did that underwear that pulls all your stomach in. She's made a friggin' fortune.
Well, she's made at least a billion.
Yeah, she's giving $500 million. Hey.
Man.
That's a lot of spanking.
It's a girdle.
It's a girdle, but it's a different kind of girdle.
Yes, it is. I don't know.
But that company hasn't been around that long, and she's made a super fortune.
And what did they say? She borrowed $5,000. Yeah. It was like some crazy...
Yeah. So she's a multi-billionaire, and she's not that old either.
No, she's a young woman.
She'll be enjoying this for a long time.
I mean, she looked like she looked like she's in her 30s. Didn't she look young?
I'd say no older than early 40s.
Oh, you thought really?
I don't know, but young. Let's put it this way.
Definitely.
Young.
Yeah.
She's made a lot of money at a young age.
Certainly the youngest in that group that was on, of the seven people that they had.
And then the Gates, of course. Foundation. And
they're going to give 95% of their wealth away.
Well, think about it. 95% of $65 billion, you still will be doing fine.
And Buffett's giving away 99%.
Yeah, he doesn't give his kids anything.
No.
Think about that, though. He said, if I just give that money to them and they just keep giving it to their kids, there's no incentive to do anything.
Of course, the Kennedys turned the television off right after he said that.
Ah, that's wrong.
Because he goes, well, what good is it if you just create this generations that somebody, generations
dynasties
ago,
that these keep dynasties, going.
And somebody, and then future dynasties live off it and don't do anything. I was like, okay, that's the Kennedys pretty much.
Ouch. But the Gates people, I saw that one piece and I thought it was in the 60 Minutes piece that was a rerun, but it must have been something else where he goes to these third world countries to get them vaccinations that they need, and he was trying by giving money to people that want to do research to help these people develop plumbing that doesn't need any pipes. And I swear to God, at where
I
got
that even work?
Huh?
How does that work?
Well, there's some way, and he had somebody do something, invent something where solid waste was turned into an iPad or something. You would go to the bathroom, and then you'd open this drawer, and there was an iPad there where there should have been waste. That's how brilliant some of these people are.
Well, now, Stephen Case's wife, and he's the guy that started AOL, so he's got... She was saying that the couple are doing, they're probably going to get rid of polio.
Yeah, in
the
some
world,
of these countries.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so it is... Because the cool thing about that was that the only thing that Buffett says is... Please give your money away, but he doesn't tell you how to do it.
So they don't guide it into
right.
any particular
so whatever
thing.
Kind
it's
of
all,
philanthropy you want to do.
It's all pooled
yeah.
or...
No, it's not even pooled. It's your own money.
But to give it to somebody.
Right.
I thought they were throwing it in a pot
no.
if people need it.
And they don't dictate as to, well, here's the five charities that we want. They want you to do whatever you feel and am passionate about, you know, do with your money. But
well, again, look at Bill Gates. Guy has four sweaters and a pair of corduroy pants.
Every time you see
although
him.
His house is, what, 55,000 square feet and
yeah,
built
small
into
closets, though.
Right. Resale sucks.
I think his basement gets water.
Right.
He's got seepage.
He's so close to the water wherever he lives in Washington State.
You know, though, I mean, he comes off humble, but don't you think he's living large?
I know somebody who works for Microsoft. And would pick him up at the airport. This guy is in management, but he would fly coach. He's like a Buffett. He's got an old truck. He lives in Omaha.
Yeah.
And he is not of that private jet anything. Took commercial, flew coach. He would pick him up at the airport a few years ago. I don't think that's changed much.
See, now I wouldn't, if I was your friend, I would be just too afraid to drive him.
Yeah.
I mean, you're driving. Look at the precious cargo you got in the car there. I mean, could you imagine if you get into a car
accident? But he did pick him up.
Because that's how I feel sometimes when I drive you. I'm going to myself, okay, now, if I get into a car accident and something happens.
Okay, now that you've said that, the way you drive, it's almost like you want.
No, but I'm just saying, it's like, you know, I mean, if you drive a friend, you pick up a friend, okay, whatever.
Well,
but
that did happen with that writer. What was his name?
Oh, yeah, Halberstam or something like that?
Yeah.
He got picked up by a college
kid,
yeah.
Did a speaking engagement. Kid got in an accident. The guy got killed.
Yeah. Yeah, he was going to pick him up from the airport, driving him to I think it was a free event, too. I think he wasn't even getting paid. It was one of these things like he's doing a favor.
But that did happen.
Yeah. And I watch.
Sure you do. How many red light violations?
Oh, don't even bring that up after this weekend in the Tribune. I mean, this is.
So you're getting a rebate.
Well, I'm going to go. I guess I can go online and put my license plate in there and see what's going on because
you might get money back.
Well, they're saying that this is so mismanaged and so unfair.
No, we're not in Chicago.
I mean, the Tribune on Sunday, they had about an 8-page report on this. It was unbelievable about the first of all the corruption and how the company got the actual contract.
No,
and the way this thing is rigged up. And the way it censors,
they don't know whether it's a mechanical issue or whether there's been tampering or both.
But the thing that I hated.
What's been tampered with?
The red light cameras themselves.
Because they were saying that there were some corners that didn't have any, and then suddenly they spiked
fourfold. And it's like, well, how
for
could
a couple
this...
of weeks,
yeah,
and then it fell off again.
It's like, how could this happen?
Any of the intersections that you frequent?
Well, I got to look. I mean, I got to see now. But one of the things.
So you put your license plate into the computer,
and it lets you know that if you got a ticket, were you in one of these areas that is suspect about being potentially tampered with, or
and they're talking about a class action suit, yeah, possibly.
But the thing that got me mad, which I have been complaining about, and you've always made fun of me,
mm-hmm,
and the Tribune today in the paper says, if you were mad at the red light cameras, we don't blame you. So thank you for that. But secondly, they said that this technology, it assumes that you're not going to stop.
Because it can just feel your energy.
Well, apparently, it gauges by how fast you're going as you're approaching the light.
Okay.
And then it sort of assumes
that
if you're going that fast, you won't stop. You're going to do a rolling stop, and then it gets you. That's outrageous.
And we got that from the space program. Thank you. We have our trilogy. We have our trilogy. You got Johnny Winter, Elaine Stritch, James Garner.
James Garner.
What a career that guy had.
He had a good run.
Yeah.
He had a real good run. He had a couple of popular TV shows, big movies, Oscar nomination. He always seemed like a nice guy.
80 what?
Six.
86. James Garner dead.
And I was just thinking about 2 weeks ago. I was like, is James Garner still
alive? You were.
Just
2 weeks. I swear to God.
Honest.
I thought that about Johnny Winter a week ago. I really did.
I said
that. Is Johnny Winter still alive?
When I heard this, I said, I can't believe this, because I was wondering, because I hadn't seen James Garner in a while.
Well, you can think about anybody in that age group. That guy from McHale's Navy just died, too. Were you thinking about him?
Who, Ernest Borgnine?
Oh, he died a long time ago, didn't he?
No, a couple years ago.
Oh, the guy that was
Bob Hastings.
Yeah,
yeah.
The guy that was
he played like
the assistant to
Joe Flynn's Carpenter.
Leadbottom.
His name was Carpenter, and he also was Kelsey. Nobody mentions that he was Kelsey on All in the Family.
Yes, he had a number of TV shows that he was on.
Yeah.
And were you thinking of him?
No, I was not thinking of Bob Hastings.
Too bad.
But James Garner, well, he actually was just in The Notebook, which was a few years ago, and he a lot of people, so younger people hopefully will know who he is. Cause,
hopefully.
I mean, well, because, you know, if you haven't done anything in the last 5 years, then a young person doesn't even know you had a career.
Okay, I don't think young people care about McHale's Navy, nor the astronauts that you listed earlier.
They don't care.
They don't.
Well, they should.
Well, they don't.
That's not, well, that's terrible. What they care more about. I bet you more people can name Angelina Jolie's kids than can name the people that walked on the moon. And that is a...
Oh, that's a stretch. I don't know anybody who can name one of her kids.
Oh, I can.
Oh, you can.
Maddox or Paddox or something. Yeah, Maddox, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, great. You're not sure?
Shiloh. That's two. Pax or something, I think. I don't know.
I think you're...
Maddox is one, I think. But I know Shiloh, definitely.
All right, you got... One out of 17. Soldier Field was a landmark, but had its status revoked after renovations because it so drastically altered the architecture. But if it was landmark, how would they be able to do that? That doesn't make any sense. They would have stopped it at the get-go.
Exactly. How do you revoke it after it's done?
Another goofy operation, the Bears. You can't afford your own stadium.
Oh.
You're one of the highest...
Worth, yeah.
Ball clubs on Earth.
Oh, they're
the most
close to a billion, probably.
Yeah.
Now, especially
one of the richest,
and everything has been overpriced because of the. Although, who knows if that Clipper sale is going to go through? That's still in court
with Sterling,
yeah, and his wife. So, who knows what's going to happen at that?
On your top of the hour sounder with the Spartans. What are they replying to? Spartans, what is your profession?
Au.
That's their profession.
Au.
Auga chaka.
Auga chaka. Blue Swede.
312-521-8600. A container filled with millions of Lego pieces fell into the sea off Cornwall in 1997. But instead of remaining at the bottom of the ocean, they are still washing up on Cornish beaches today.
In the shape of a castle.
And they're all put together, yes. They came to shore completely formed into a nice figure, offering an insight into the mysterious world of oceans and tides. This happened in, as I mentioned, in February 1997, when the container ship Tokyo Express, which is where I had lunch today, was hit by a wave described by its captain as a once-in-a-hundred-year phenomenon, tilting the ship 60 degrees one way and then 40 degrees back. If this boat's rocking, as a result, 62 containers were lost overboard about 20 miles off Land's End, and one of them was filled with nearly 4.8 million pieces of Lego bound for New York.
That's like a kid's nirvana.
So they're washing up on shore 17 years later. As I've said, when I see these cargo ships, mostly in movies and mostly on Castaway, I thought...
So basically one movie.
No, you see them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
War of the Worlds.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen it at the beginning there. Tom Cruise is doing a 20-hour blow. Yeah.
That's only a rumor.
That's what he says when this guy wants him to work another shift. I'm on a 24-hour blow. I think he says that. Look it up. And those containers are piled high. You're out on this rocky body of water. And somebody said that they are pinned together right in the corners. But still, when that boat takes on a wave that's 60 degrees one way, 40 the other, how are those little clips going to hold? Well, they don't. You got your, how many containers? 62 containers on that ship alone. I know they did, when that Malaysia flight was lost, they did a little tote on how many of these containers, because they were finding these container ships as they were looking for the plane.
Oh, right.
How many of these things come off a ship, and it's astounding how many are lost.
Wow. When you fell off a cargo ship? I've got some free stuff. It fell off a cargo ship.
Would you like to buy a TV? Just fell off a cargo ship coming from Malaysia.
You want to buy some Legos? It's going to take 20 years to get them, but I can get them. Just stand by the beach, and they'll slowly come up.
4 million Legos.
Wow.
Not Legos, Lego bricks. The plural of Lego.
Yes.
Lego bricks.
We learned that.
Unfortunately, my Lego guy, who made that Lego sign for me that he gave to us during that broadcast at Portillo's.
He was a Lego master or something?
He's a Marshall Lego Grand Poobah Grand Wizard. So he made me this beautiful Lego sign with my name, and then it says WGN AM 720. Well, lo and behold, several months later, AM 720 is not where I work. So we called him and said, hey, can you rearrange it to say WGN.FM? And I can't do that.
Really?
Or he's busy or something. So if you're well-versed in Legos, if you could rearrange this sign to fix it.
Well, think about it. I mean, you literally would have to take...
And Lego bricks. I said Legos. That is wrong. That's probably why he doesn't want to do it, because I've said Lego bricks or Legos too often.
You're not a true Lego fan.
I'm not.
Well, you think about this. First of all, that the size of that thing was huge. You would literally have to take the whole bottom half apart and start from scratch, because it was all those white bricks. And then inlaid in the white, he had the word.
Oh, it's a masterpiece.
So that would be a pretty big...
Well, again, if you... Well, I guess you have to be a master.
Because what was it say? WGN AM
720. Yeah.
You got to the whole 720 out and
right. You got to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But right now I got a piece of paper over that says WGN.FM.
Where is that?
It's down in Craig's cubbyhole.
Oh, is it?
Oh. Yeah. They gave him a
closet.
Literally a closet to sit and do his work in, and then he tag teams with Keith. And they become, what is it, Creeth.
Craig and Keith.
Creeth. And then Aaron, who I'm trying to get on the payroll, but of course, we have no money.
She's shadowing the shadows.
She's shadowing, and that's how they get around that. And it would be Krithrin.
Krithrin.
If she stays on board.
Oh, I didn't know you brought it down from upstairs.
Yeah, everything's gone. And here's the other thing, which Leslie pointed out. Have you noticed that your old office is still vacant?
They were
so anxious to get you downstairs.
Oh,
it's still empty.
Have you been upstairs?
Yeah, I go up every day because I have to record with Duffy.
Oh, so you see it.
Yeah.
So what's going on up there?
As far as what?
Anything. So what's going on in Bob and Mary Ann's, which was next to yours?
They're gone. They're downstairs.
So anyone in there?
That Eric who does videos, he's in there. He's got a new boy
with
him. He's got a friend.
All right.
And so there are two guys in there.
Uh-huh. In that whole big giant office.
Yeah. And mine's still vacant.
Completely empty.
Empty.
Not even a stick of furniture.
Well, there's a cabinet that they, some drawers that they couldn't fit
right,
in.
Right, but that's not.
That's in the corner. That's it.
Yeah. And then who's in the, where's?
That's as far as I go. I don't go any farther west than that.
So do you go in the side door? Like
yes, I come down and avoid that whole.
That whole walk of fame.
Yeah,
right the front
that,
there.
That scary section yeah. where nothing good can happen. Of course, I have bad memories because that's where.
The last time you walked through that door.
When I came up and knocked on the, not a knock, I took my key card, walked in, and there's my boss. Hey, and it's the same, no matter who's delivering it, no matter what radio station. Hey, you got a minute? Whenever you hear that, run. Can I talk to you for a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when it all happened.
You guys got done with a good show, feeling good about yourself, going to go home, get a little something to eat?
Sure.
Say, hey, another notch on the bedpost.
And, if we need to do that.
And then all
and then
sudden,
it was all this. So I always avoid, that door has just memories that I can't deal with.
Not a good door.
But I need somebody to fix that Lego sign.
Yeah.
If there's anybody out there, I don't know. It's probably a skill that's a lot more, it has to
well,
be.
Well, because don't forget too that, you know, he built that thing. Beautiful, like you said, but it's tapered at the bottom, too.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a masterpiece.
So you'd have to, it's not just, it's a whole thing. Didn't he say it took him, like, how many hours or days?
Yeah,
or?
It's really, I couldn't do it. Well, that's what he does. That's his whole job. He's a master of Lego.
Lego brick master.
He made some faces he brought to the broadcast, and he's the Rembrandt of Lego bricks. That's what I would call him. And I wanted to do more stuff with him, but he either is real busy or that's all he wanted to do.
He's lost interest.
Well,
he's doing one for Eric and Kathy right now.
Okay. And this text.
He was starting one for Jobo and Eddie, but then he had to stop that one.
That ended. Which one is not coming back?
Jobo is too happy in Freeport.
Also, iHeart app has almost zero buffering. I get these complaints about buffering on the broadcast. So iHeart, it says here, the iHeart radio app, almost zero buffering. So try our iHeart or TuneIn. Those are the places to go. WGN.FM, pop it in there, and you should be in business. Thank you. And this other story that I opened the program with, and it will repeat in the 6 o'clock plane, all dressed up with Duffy audio, but it's one of those stories where I always think, I don't understand this. A jury awarded a widow $23 billion against the second largest tobacco company because her husband died of lung cancer. He was a chain smoker. He started smoking at 13. And what am I missing here? The claim was that the tobacco companies never told people how addictive it was and that there were harmful chemicals in there. But since 1970, isn't that when they started putting that warning on there? That
pretty much. It's been the last 40 years.
Smoking is dangerous?
Yeah, and remember Brooke Shields with the Smoking Stinks campaign? I mean, certainly within the last 45 years.
He was 36 when he died. So he was born in 1978.
He was well within the time period.
But who doesn't know the dangers of smoking at this point? How can you get 23 now? This will be appealed, and I doubt if it'll, even if it's 23 million.
23 billion.
It's 23 billion, one person.
Do they even have that much money? I mean, I know the cigarette companies that make money, but do they even make that much?
That should be their response. We don't have that much money.
I mean, granted, we make some cash here. We've got some coin. But come on, 23 million, 23 billion.
23 billion.
I mean, that's the, that's the budget of some countries.
Even his wife said he was a chain smoker. He would light one off the other. Yes. Yeah, okay, he's dead. Lung cancer,
well,
get
you know,
it.
Well, I'm sure on the jury there were a lot of people who had perhaps lost a loved one or a friend to cancer.
Is that why they did that?
Trying to send a message. Well, I mean, what else could it be? How we know it's dangerous. I'm sure that they had some compelling evidence, but the fact of the matter is...
But again, when do we take personal responsibility for our actions? Who above the age of You have to be 18 to buy cigarettes, or is it 21?
I think it's 21, though, isn't it?
Doesn't know the dangers of smoking.
I mean, some of these places, I love when they say, we card, and you have to be 30. Or, you know, it's like some weird thing.
Right. It's over the legal age, even.
It's like you have to be 60, and you can't buy them.
That's why they put all those stickers on ladders and things, because we're so litigious in this country, and nobody wants to take personal responsibility. Well, then anybody that's, and I think there have been lawsuits, if somebody is shot, then you should sue the people that made the bullets.
Right.
Because they're dangerous. And I know there have, I think, been some lawsuits by that kind of reasoning, but I don't think they get very far.
Was there anything new in this case? I didn't hear anything that, why, because in the past people have sued.
Right.
So how, I don't know where this one came from, where, you know, all of a sudden they would get a $23 billion.
I got more of the story. Keith, can you print that story out? Unless it's here, I can't find it, the whole story, and I'll give the details.
Because they've had these in the past.
No, really. Yeah, they mention others. There's a,
yeah. So why? What was so unique about this one where they went so off the wall on this?
All right, I'll get those details. Jill?
Gary, I hate to break this, but I'm going to have to sue Betty Crocker, because my butt is big, and there were no warning labels on those brownies.
That's right.
None.
Hey.
I can't fit in my jeans. I have to buy all new jeans, Gary, and they're expensive, and there were no warning labels, Gary.
You mock, but people have done that. People have sued because they were not accommodated for their size. Whether it's food companies or whatever, or people that make chairs or whatever it is, there have been lawsuits like that. Yeah.
I mean, brownies, at least food that is not good for you is at least delicious. I don't get the cigarette thing. I just personally don't get it.
In the 50s and 60s, if you saw any of those ads, it was very much glorified as the thing to do. Very noteworthy people would do these ads that people respected, right. Newscasters and stuff. But since 1970, when they are not allowed to advertise on radio and television, and the warnings on the packet had to say, this is a dangerous product or whatever it says. After that, I think you pretty much get it. They know at that point it's a dangerous item. You're on your own. Nobody's forcing right. you to smoke. And mm-hmm. you might get lung cancer. So what are we suing for, and why are we getting $23
billion? Yeah, I mean, let that money go towards research. But for an individual to sue because they didn't know better, it seems a little ridiculous at this point, maybe. But, Gary, I'll say this. I'm going to be 43 this October. I was scared to have sex without a condom or even consider smoking a cigarette. So all that advertising worked on me. I grew up terrified.
You're living your life right, though, Jill. You should
okay,
be using, just keep using the condom. I mean, that's the...
The brownies. Where's the label on the brownies?
All right.
All right, love you.
I'll make sure that you don't get anything from your lawsuit. A Florida jury slammed R.J. Reynolds with that $23 billion in punitive damages. Lawsuit filed by the widow of a longtime smoker who died of lung cancer in 96. The case is one of thousands filed in Florida after the state Supreme Court in 06 tossed out a $145 billion class action verdict. That ruling also said smokers and their families need only prove addiction and that smoking caused their illnesses or deaths.
Oh, so that's what opened up the floodgates then.
Last year, Florida's highest court reapproved that decision, which made it easier for sick smokers or their survivors to pursue lawsuits against tobacco companies without having to prove to the court again that Big Tobacco knowingly sold dangerous products and hid the hazards of cigarette smoking. We've got Big Pharma, Big Tobacco. The damages.
Can't they put a ceiling on it? It's crazy.
A jury awarded Friday to Cynthia Robinson after a 4-week trial. Come in addition to $16.8 million in compensatory damages.
Oh, that's a mere bag of shells compared to the $23 billion.
The jury wanted to send a statement that tobacco cannot continue to lie to the American people and the American government about the addictiveness of and the deadly chemicals in their cigarettes, said one of her attorneys. Christopher Chestnut, that's her attorney
It's Joey Chestnut, the hot dog eater's cousin.
The competitive eater from that family.
Well, you know that's going to get.
This is not like you were eating cornflakes and you got lung cancer, and then they found out they didn't say anything.
Or what is that? Thalidomide?
Thalidomide.
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 That's correct. That's correct.
Bothotherca.
Yeah, I mean, people were using that not knowing the dangers. They were prescribed that by a doctor. They didn't know. But this, we've had decades. But if the court lowered the standard by which you can sue, then that's why there's all these.
That they jump in with these.
I bet you. So I bet you, if you're in Florida on television, I bet you all the lawyers are like, "Do you know somebody? Is it somebody right in your family like they with that mesothelioma and all that?
That
stuff?
Has lung cancer
yeah.
from smoking."
Yeah.
The lawsuit's goal was to stop tobacco companies from targeting children and young people with their advertising, said another attorney. If we don't get a dime, that's okay. If we can make a difference and save some lives, better yet. So this is going to be appealed. Other Florida juries have hit tobacco companies with tens of millions of dollars in punitive damages and lawsuits. In August, Fort Lauderdale jury awarded $37.5
million. Where is all this money coming from?
We don't have much money.
Come on, guys.
Attorneys for Reynolds said they would appeal, arguing that the woman knew the dangers of smoking because cigarettes had warning labels when she started. The attorney for the woman's family said teenagers like her were targeted by tobacco companies. Okay, did they come to your house and put it in your mouth?
No, but they gave me a Joe Camel?
Yeah.
Or they gave me beer cozy with
yeah.
Joe Camel
what
on.
What the hell has happened to people?
Remember when Joe Camel wore the black Wayfarer glass?
A lot of liquor, but I don't drink that liquor to excess.
Why, you didn't go nuts when Spuds McKenzie was big? Remember Spud?
Yeah. I didn't run out and start drinking all the Bud I could drink. Because I'm not.
Otherwise,
that
you could
stupid.
Be $23 billion richer.
You should have.
Gary Meyer.
What the hell was that? Where's your incense? You said you had no incense.
I didn't burn any incense today.
You may have snorted some.
I still got a contact hit from last week when I was burning it. I didn't have any matches. I don't know if you heard earlier that I thought I grabbed matches at home, and when I got home or got here, they were toothpicks because they looked like matchbooks from Pettorino's, a fine restaurant here in Chicago. And I'll have to bring more matches in tomorrow and light up. And I found that from a number of you that incense is everywhere.
Yeah.
You get it at Walgreens.
Walgreens. Well, you can get everything at Walgreens.
It seems. They have a super Walgreens they opened at the Wrigley building a couple weeks ago.
Have you been in there?
No. I'm going to go in tomorrow.
I want to go in there.
Two floors.
No waiting.
The Wrigley building is undergoing all kinds of renovation. They're going to put a lot more retail in there, I guess.
Oh.
I think a number of the offices have left, so they're putting retail in. It looks like the whole building's under some renovation.
I wonder how far back it goes. It probably goes back pretty far, too.
You know, what do you mean?
The actual store.
Goes back to the 1920s. 1920s would be the right answer. In the early 80s, they would hand out free cigarette samples in downtown Chicago. There were mini packs with six cigarettes.
I remember those.
Yeah. I don't know if they did an age check. They would just hand them out to anybody.
I remember those at concerts and stuff. They used to have those quite a bit.
They would just hand out cigarettes at concerts.
I remember that.
Well, that's the great thing about cigarettes or anything that's addictive. You hand a few out, you got them for life.
Yep. First one's always free.
I was told by people that produce gum. In their research, they found that if you start chewing gum at the age of, say, 11 or 12, the chances are you'll chew gum your whole life. So that's why they like to get people into chewing gum early on.
Have you been chewing gum lately?
When I started doing TheraBreath, I've got TheraBreath in my pocket all the time, and I haven't had gum since.
My wife used to buy gum, those different kinds of Wrigley's gums and all those things like that for your breath and everything. But now that I had some of those, and then she buys the Altoids, I'm just thinking I don't really buy gum.
Even though TheraBreath has not been advertising for several years, I'm still.
But you still have 75,000.
I still have it, but even if I didn't, I did. buy some when I was out of town once because I do like the product. So I encouraged TheraBreath.
So you saw it out on the market?
Huh?
You saw it out in the store?
Oh, yeah. It's at Walgreens.
Is it at Walgreens?
Then get it at Walgreens. Get everything there, you know.
I guess.
Look, they're at the Wrigley Building. How far back does it go? About 80, 90 years. And I got a text today. This is how, if you're looking to advertise, please consider .fm. Because you should get results. I got a text today from a woman who said, I went to Bonefish Grill over the weekend, had the Bang Bang Shrimp. It was delicious. Bonefish Grill hasn't advertised for, what, 3 years?
Easily.
And they were advertising heavily, and yeah. I would go out there and eat the Bang Bang and loved it.
Yeah.
And still do it. I do go to Bonefish.
You were synonymous with the Bang Bang Shrimp.
I was. And we were having a great run, and then some agency took over their advertising, and they're not advertising now.
And I don't, who knows? And who even knows they're still open?
Well, this woman does.
Yeah.
And they opened up one near where I go in Pennsylvania, and so I started going there.
Have you gone there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Got the Bang Bang.
And the Bang Bang still is good?
Oh, yeah.
The quality is still good?
Yeah, it's good. So come on back.
I mean, I used to bring in every day the menu. Remember?
Right. When I did the commercial, I just read off the menu.
Used to grab the menu.
It was so good. Still is, I'll bet, but they're not advertising. Now, you mentioned earlier the Arnold Palmer at Dunkin' Donuts.
The frozen Arnold Palmer. Yeah, it's like a Slurpee.
I have not had that, but I got to have that now.
Yeah, I looked at it. It's at Dunkin' Donuts, and it looked really good. And so in the commercial, they're by a golf course, and they go, we've got the frozen Arnold Palmer, and then they show a big ice sculpture of Arnold Palmer. It's the frozen Arnold. Palmer.
That's the frozen Arnold.
But it looked good. I mean, but once again, I hope it's got, you know, as we've talked about many times, to make a good Arnold Palmer, you have to have the right
You would think that anybody could make it.
No.
But it has to be the right balance. You need the right amount of lemonade.
Yes.
And that is key.
And I would think that most people make it wrong because they believe that you have to put, the tea should be the dominant flavor, but it's the lemonade. That's the dominant. So if you're making that at home, Little Leaguers, yeah, you need to put more lemonade than tea. Because, man, does that get...
Is that new with Dunkin'?
Yeah, I just saw the commercial this weekend because they have the British Open, so that's probably when they...
That's a good call.
Oh, it's a great call.
How Dunkin' let Starbucks take over something that they owned before Starbucks came around, I don't know.
Yeah.
There are no laptop hobos at Dunkin' Donuts. It's just usually, when I've gone, it's usually older guys that sit in the corner, and you know they go there every morning. And that's the group they get. They don't have a lot of people hanging out.
No.
That's not what they're known for, I understand, but look at Starbucks. That's their whole thing. That's your third destination. You got home, office, and Starbucks.
Yeah, that's a hang. That's what bookstores used to be. And then Starbucks took over from the bookstores.
And that's wrong. Dunkin' owned that way before Starbucks, but let Starbucks take over.
And this must be somehow endorsed because they showed, I mean, they didn't use the term, iced tea and lemonade. They said Arnold Palmer. They showed his face. They showed his signature. So he's endorsing this somehow.
Have his own line.
Yeah.
So I have seen Arnold Palmer cans.
Yeah. So this must be, they must use that
to make the culotta.
Yeah, right. That's what it's called.
I got a text when a guy says, the lieutenant at my fire station bought me one. It was delicious.
It's got to be. It's unbelievable.
And when you're around hot, that's got to be so refreshing.
Yeah, I've got a Dunkin' Donuts by the house. I'm going to have to go get one tonight because it looks like it's going to be a steamer tonight.
They recently opened a Bonefish Grill in Orland Park. The only reason I went was because you promoted the Bang Bang Shrimp on your show. It's delicious. This is 3 years later.
Isn't that wild?
Still resonating.
Look at that.
Smart Mouth works great.
Hey.
12-hour fresh breath. Dennis Miller does commercials for them on 560.
What? What is that?
That's AM 560.
I know. I'm pretending.
Cha-cha.
I'm pretending.
Cha-cha.
That's old media.
I don't know it.
We don't play in that schoolyard anymore. What is the... did you do the alfresco today at Pettirino's?
No, I wasn't at Petarino's today.
Oh, I thought you
were. No, but I am.
You said you brought back some.
In fact, well, from the last time I was there.
Oh, I see.
My wife must have grabbed them.
Oh, I thought you went.
And but she must have thought they were matches, too, because she put them by the matches, the other matches we have, because she'll light some candles or whatever. And so I just grabbed them.
She'll light some incense.
Well, I got the incense. So I grabbed them, got here, thought, okay, I'm going to light a stick up. I'm ready to go, start the week. Toothpicks?
You could have rubbed them together.
What am I going to do with this?
Your boy,
Scott. Do people really still use toothpicks? I know older guys like to do that. That looks disgusting after they've had lunch and they're picking at their teeth.
And it just hurts.
Watch them? Yes, it does.
When you use one, you dig in. I mean, it's not a good. Plus, I don't think it's a good look.
It is not.
Yeah. It always seems like you're going to be playing cards or you're betting on horses or something. It just seems like that's the kind of crowd.
Andrew at 312-521-8600. What up, bro?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
It's funny you're talking about Dunkin' Donuts because over the weekend, a bunch of us friends, and I'm 50, and we grew up when Dunkin' Donuts was just, you know, in the mornings, you go in there and they had those ceramic cups of coffee and mm-hmm. a couple of, maybe a dozen donuts. And I could never figure out how could a company like that exist, because back in the day, people weren't drinking coffee in the afternoon and having all their culottas and all their iced coffee drinks. It is amazing how Dunkin' has evolved. And now they got sandwiches, they've got breakfast things, they've got pizza. It's crazy, but we were just talking about it over the weekend. We remember going in over the one near Milwaukee and Devon, where I grew up, and the only thing they used to have were those little ceramic cups of coffee. Nothing even to go, I don't think. And then they had like 12 donuts.
You know, they had to go. I went there, too, at that time when I was going to a junior college at Thornton. And we'd go in and have the ceramic cup of coffee, and they had not as many donuts to choose from, but enough to dunk with, because it's Dunkin' Donuts. You got to dunk something in it. Otherwise, that's false advertising. But anyway, I would get the French Crother.
Oh, those were good. Those that they're, round thing.
Right.
With the ridges.
Curly.
With the ridges.
Mostly air, but delicious.
Yeah.
But do you remember their original donut, which was just like a plain donut with no frosting on it? They had like a little handle on it or something. It like a, looked like almost like a cue in a way.
Yeah.
And that was you would hold the end of that cue with a little stick, and you would dunk that in your coffee. And it was always, and we were laughing about this because I don't think I saw anybody under like 65 or 70 sitting in these places all day back in the day. And they were just, they were ugly.
Because that demographic, they would drink coffee with everything. You go to White Castle, they'd have their hamburgers, and they'd be drinking coffee with their hamburgers.
Well, my mother-in-law, we went out to McDonald's a couple of weeks ago, and she says, oh, I'll have a hamburger and give me a black coffee. And I'm like,
yeah. They grew up with coffee. I don't think soda was as prevalent, or if it was, it wasn't like we drink it now. It was coffee.
And it was 40 cents.
It was 40 cents. Oh, yeah. When you tell any of these people that are that age that you buy coffee for $2, $3, what? Well, my first house cost
$3. Well, the other thing is, you go to my mother-in-law's house, she's like 80-something, and she still has Sanka. I mean, what was the last time you saw a can of Sanka?
Sanka. That was another thing you see in the restaurants in the day at Howard Johnson's. We'll have some Sanka, kiddo.
Remember the little packets they
yes.
gave with the little orange?
Sanka at Howard Johnson's.
Orange and brown.
And the orange drink. What was the orange drink that went to the moon with the Astros?
Tang.
I saw it there.
Tang.
Tang. She's got a can of Tang.
Nice Tang, Grandma.
In the 60s.
Hey, Grandma, how about some Tang? Some sweet Tang, Grandma. Those people, they were the greatest generation. They lived through hell. Let them have whatever they want.
Have a great afternoon, guys.
Thank you, Andrew.
Are you you're not a big coffee drinker.
I have a cup, maybe a cup and a half at the most in the morning.
Oh, you do?
At home, yeah.
Every day?
Yeah, just about.
I didn't
about,
know that. Oh,
just
okay,
about.
Because you don't drink.
I'll tell you this. And
I never see you drinking around
and
here.
And this is true. I'm not making this up because they were advertisers. CD One Price Cleaners. Remember
right. The
free gourmet coffee?
Right.
On Fridays, usually that's when I go to get my cleaning and drop off.
You'd look forward.
My wife will go, hey, would you like some coffee?
Nope.
Going to CD1. Got to get my coffee there. It's a ritual. Because it reminds me of when I worked at my father's dry cleaners. Not that I drank coffee when I was a kid, but the whole thing is a thing. Going to get my dry cleaning. I like the whole thought of, hey, this is what I do with my dad in the summer. I worked at the dry cleaners. I get my cup of coffee. It's free. It's good. It's gourmet. So it's a thing. And they have the nice coffee right. thing going. Yeah.
Because I never see you drink it around here.
No, I don't.
Or
by
out.
That, no, it's, about. By the time I get here, I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't do it in the afternoon.
Well, exactly like you were saying to him, is that that generation, they drank coffee all the time. That I don't drink coffee. I've never drank coffee. Don't really like the taste, but never got into the rhythm of it or the habit of it. Because I always associated it growing up as being an old person's drink.
Well, that so was
then,
their drink.
But so then
that
when
and
I got,
highballs.
Yeah.
It was coffee, and then and if you had company, you had highballs.
So we just, well, I never graduated to coffee because I never felt like I was an old person.
Okay. Well,
you know what I mean?
Starbucks changed that.
Oh, whole thing. No
and
kidding.
Again, Dunkin' let Starbucks take over that position.
Yeah.
Dunkin' owned it. Starbucks made it hipper, and that's why younger people got into it. You're probably right. When you have a pink and orange building and vinyl-covered chairs that are attached to the table, maybe that's something that turned young people off.
But
although I did go there when I was younger because that was the only coffee around.
Oh, plus they had those little Dunkin' Munchkins. Remember the
donuts were great.
And the
they
butter,
made them on premises. They don't do that anymore.
Those buttermilk. These things called buttermilk. Mm-hmm. They weighed a ton. You can only eat one.
Good.
And but you know they now there was you know that Crumbs had gone out of business recently that made the cupcakes. And in the story, somebody said, look. Dunkin' Donuts does not have the greatest donuts, but they've been around, just like this caller was talking, why they've been around so long. He said they are a very well-run business. They may not have the highest quality or greatest product per se in terms of gourmet and stuff like that, but they are a very well-run company.
I love their coffee.
Yeah. And now, there's one by me. They just redecorated it.
Okay, before you say anything else, this text. In Arizona, they are building new Dunkin' Donuts like crazy. They look like Starbucks.
Yeah.
They just is that what it looks like?
They just redecorated it. The colors are a little muted, and there's a whole different inside now. When you walk in, it doesn't have that counter right away, because that's what it was.
Do they have a Baskin Robbins too?
No,
a Baskin Robbins.
No, this is just a standalone because it's not that big of a place. But I mean, that's the one thing is that think about when you walk into a Starbucks. When you walk into a Starbucks, the first thing you see are these comfortable chairs. You have to walk back in most of them to get to the counter. So it's the atmosphere that you soak in first.
And then the laptop hobos set up shop
but
for
Dunkin',
4 or 5 hours.
At Dunkin', you open the door, there's the donuts in the counter.
Get your donuts and coffee and move on. And then
out.
Again, in the corner, 4 or 5 guys probably in their 70s, 80s.
And they're old.
They get together every morning.
And they'll be there for 7 hours a day.
Right. Stay there till about noon, then go to Taco Bell for lunch, and then go and throw one in the wife later on. Pederino's won't advertise now. PO'd about your match rant. That was hardly a rant. Well, I think they're being very aware by giving out toothpicks
right?
instead of matches.
Exactly.
They're promoting health.
I love Pederino.
So this Arizona text, as you mentioned, they're doing very, very well, too. Lots of folks that used to go to Starbucks are now going to Double D. Double D has better coffee and more reasonably priced, too.
And they are expanding their menu now. They've got a lot of breakfast sandwiches and stuff like that, so it's not just the donuts. Because before, that's all it was.
Yeah.
Although now I did read that this guy from Chicago that's on that entrepreneurial show called The Profit is investing in Crumbs. And so the Chicago Crumbs may not close.
Okay.
He may save the...
The whole cupcake thing.
Yeah, I know.
I have one cupcake every 8 months, whether I need one or not.
It's so silly. It's just a cupcake. Yeah. They're trying to make it sound like it's some.
It's yeah,
like,
it's.
I went there and it was good, but you know what? It was a cupcake. I didn't. My head didn't blow. It didn't explode.
Yeah, well, they made it hip.
Yeah.
To have a big cupcake.
No
big. Now is that the one that can feed? It's a giant cupcake. It's not a regular size cupcake.
No. It's bigger. It's not.
For one person.
It's even bigger than a muffin. You know what I mean?
It's a giant cupcake.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not like, not huge. I mean, it's not unbearable.
Not the size of your baby's head. I understand.
But it's bigger than your average, you know, Betty Crocker one that you, with the, I don't even know if it had the little paper around it, to be honest with you.
I am a police officer in the loop, and I answer at least 4 calls a day, every day at various Double D locations to kick bums out of there. Far more bums begging at Double D than at Starbucks.
Well, it's a different clientele.
Went to Dunkin' today with a coupon, got a large coffee and bagel with cream cheese for $3. Love their coffee.
Nice.
That woman who got the $23 billion award, it says in this text, Warren Buffett should call her and she should have to donate at least $500,000 to charity.
What, half of, she should have to donate what, $12 billion? Half of her fortune.
$12 billion.
Their long johns are half the size. Everything is. All that packaging now.
Who's
the
long
packaging,
John?
I think Duncan.
Oh, okay.
The packaging is bigger, but when you get inside, it's smaller. And the proportions, the volume inside a lot of these things is smaller, but they're charging more.
And yet there's no inflation. It's like everybody who says there's no inflation hasn't been to a grocery store lately.
I remember when a Whopper was a Whopper.
It was huge.
It would, you'd have to almost cut it in half.
It was.
Or
was,
did you just have such tiny hands at that point?
I'm trying to think. If my hands were formed at 19.
Were they? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, Whoppers were
same size.
Whoppers were huge. The bun was huge. The bun was...
Everything's small.
It looked like a mafafala. What are those things called? Mufafafa? What are those things called? Malafafa?
What? What are you talking about?
Mafala.
Now I can't think of it.
Isn't that the president of Egypt? Isn't he the new president that they installed?
Mufalafa.
Shoot.
What is it called?
You ain't seen nothing until you've been on a mufalafala. That's how the song goes, but I don't know what that is.
No,
Mufaletta.
Is that what it is? Muffaletta.
That's what I gave out to keep your hands warm. Wasn't it?
It was a mafalafa.
What is that?
It's a big giant sandwich.
It's like a big piece of
Where
bread.
Where do you get them?
Muffalettas are...
Aren't those a New Orleans thing?
Yeah, that's where I want to say I had mine.
It's a New Orleans thing, I think. Yeah. But it's a big giant piece of bread.
Sicilian sesame bread and a power sandwich originating among Italian immigrants in New Orleans.
Yep.
Muffaletta.
I don't know how to say it, but I know what it is.
Muffalafala.
Yeah, go ahead. Try to order that. See where that gets you. I'm a muffalafala. What?
That'll get you arrested some places.
So wasn't Shania Twain married to a guy whose name was Muffalafala?
No, it was Mutt Lang.
Mutt Lang. Okay.
So
Muttalafala.
Are Long John's the same as Bismarck's?
No.
What's a Bismarck?
That's that round.
Oh,
the,
Bismarck
the jelly.
Is round?
Jelly donuts.
Yeah, that's that with the jelly hole.
Like a baby punchki.
Oh, is that what a Bismarck is?
You know what a Long John is?
A Long John is
the
a long...
chocolate on the top.
I thought that the Bismarck.
Or white frosting.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know, but I thought it was also known as a Bismarck because it looked like
no.
a ship.
They have, you could have filling
like
in it.
Like the Bismarck.
You like have the... to sink the Bismarck no, no. Yeah. The world no. depends yeah. on us.
That's what I thought.
No.
Oh. So a Bismarck has the
round with the powdered sugar on top.
Wow.
Jelly hole.
Yeah, no, I exactly know what it is, but I always thought the Bismarck was a...
Well, again, your ordering is way off.
Go.
Hi there, you've stumbled upon my signal.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Take that.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Good evening, Scotland and Oak Forest. A jury in Florida awarded a staggering $23 billion judgment against the country's second largest tobacco company for causing the death of a chain smoker.
Oh, they're so nasty.
Who died of lung cancer at the age of 36. Michael Johnson started smoking at the age of 13.
Spectacular mistake.
Even if for some reason you never read the warnings on a pack of coffin nails, which have been there for almost 45 years now, why would any person with a few brain cells working think that drawing smoke into one's lungs is good for you?
Well, I can only speculate as to the reasons why.
If it was, firemen would live to the age of 200.
Oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Speaking of lawsuits, the Cubs...
Oh, no! We suck again!
...have filed a lawsuit against a group of people that are dressing as a Billy Cub character in the Wrigleyville area. The official mascot is Clark the Cub.
Who the hell is he?
I'd say the Cubs could sue the pants off Billy Cub, but the mascot doesn't wear any pants.
You're probably wondering why we're standing here with no pants on.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer, available on WGN.FM, through TuneIn Radio or iHeartRadio. On the Super Streamliner, the Super G, in Chicago.
Those are your two best bets as far as I've been told with minimum buffering. Tune in or iHeartRadio. Check it out. Okay, on Thursday I'll be broadcasting on the 22nd floor. I've been given the okay to bring 30 listeners, so that's 15 couples. I'm down to the last five pairs of tickets to give away. You would be able to maybe get them if you answer this question via a Craig Collins email account that has been set up for this very special reason. ccollins@wgnradio.com is his email address. ccollins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S, at wgnradio.com. The question involves the show Friday. Rick Kogan was in, and he mentioned Roger Ebert's favorite drink. Roger Ebert's favorite drink. If you know that answer, email it to that address that I just mentioned. The first five to get in will be the final five pairs to come up on Thursday. And according to Ram Jam Ramsey, I guess the weather is going to be just about perfect for the broadcast. ccollins@wgnradio.com. Thank you.
Were there any contingencies? I mean, what if it poured rain?
No. Well, then I would guess we'd bring everybody down to the studio here.
Well, that would have been cool.
You could have had probably 10 or 15 in the room we're in, and then 10 or 15 in, at least, in the producer's room. There's enough room. But I guess it's good to go. Everything's fine. 312-521-8600 is the phone and text number. Out of Georgia, authorities investigating the theft of 200 pairs of panties at a Victoria's Secret in Augusta Mall. Security video shows a male entering and stuffing the underwear into a large shopping bag. Although their underwear, you wouldn't need a large shopping bag. You get 200 pairs easily, probably in your pockets. You don't know. You've never been. I don't. You probably don't buy underwear for your wife.
Not really.
No. She's on her own on that, too?
Yeah. I mean, well, why? What do you do?
Well, don't you have a special occasion every now and then? I think I'll get her some underwear.
Really? Wow.
Never once? No, not once?
Wow.
Never.
No, I don't think
never.
So.
Not no. Once in your... You've been married how long?
24 years.
Never thought.
Oh, it's be 24 this year.
Of course, a lot of women will say, "Well, that's a gift for you."
Right.
That's usually the response.
Right.
But you've never even gone with her.
I don't think I have.
Into a lingerie store.
We've gone in, but I don't think I've. I don't think I've gone in by myself and actually.
All right,
purchased.
But you've been in one.
Oh, I've been in that.
Looked around. Looked in the window.
No, I've been in Victoria's Secret with her, but you initially said, "Have I ever gone out and actually bought her something like that?" No.
No.
Without her being there. I may have okayed something.
Okayed it?
Well, I mean, you know, said, yeah, that's not bad.
That's not bad. Yeah, you can wear that.
Yeah.
You okay her underwear, too.
I'll take that. But usually the stuff that she's bought on her own, you know, is...
But you're aware of the fact that a lot of this underwear is very small.
Oh, yes.
And
oh, yes.
200 pairs, that probably shove in your pockets.
No kidding. Especially today, everything's... Well, I don't know. Is the thong still popular these days? I don't know.
I think with certain pants...
Yeah,
you almost have to because you don't want the VPL.
Yeah, but then you do that whale tail thing.
Yeah. Well, you got to keep them pulled up. You're right; that thing does creep up.
Oh yeah,
you got to be
listen
even
to
if you.
You
just bend over.
That's what I mean.
For a minute, all of a sudden that
Whoa.
Thing hikes up.
I don't know if it's just me or women are wearing really small underwear. But
or is it just you wearing small underwear?
Yeah.
Is that what you meant?
But I went to a baseball game at Miller Park a couple weekends ago, and we were standing, we weren't sitting, so we were standing behind, by this rail, and in front of us were the people sitting in the seats.
That bought tickets.
And they were sitting in, I don't know what kind of, they weren't like the permanent seats, they were sitting, there was a whole row of of just folding chair kind of seats. And so there was quite a few young women across there. And, you know, they were just sitting down, you know, and their shirts would hike up as they sat.
And, of course, you were watching the game. You wouldn't notice that.
Yeah. And it just seemed like I saw, like, a lot of the tops of butt cracks. I didn't see underwear. So are women not wearing even underwear anymore?
312-521-8600.
I didn't
on
see.
This American Life.
I didn't see the little band. You know, like, okay, there's the underwear. It was just like all of a sudden there was this gully. And it wasn't just on one or two. And I was just like, wow, is there like a new phenomenon I'm not aware of?
I can't help you on that one.
No, but
did you see any of the game?
Not really.
To be honest. Between that and talking, I would imagine you saw none of the game.
In fact, the funny thing is, I came home and my wife said, wow, you know, the Brewers really blew out the Cardinals.
What?
And I go, why? What was the score?
Why? What happened?
What was the score?
Well, weren't you there? Yeah, what happened?
I mean, I remember seeing the Brewers scoring several runs, but I really wasn't paying
that
attention.
That wasn't the crack of the bat that you were looking at.
No, it was not.
Apparently.
No, I was not.
Do they still have that Benny Brewer that goes down a slide?
Yeah, that's exactly. In fact, that was the best part of the, because one guy did hit a homer for the Brewers, and that's exactly where we were standing. Just to our right.
Did you see Benny's ass crack, too?
I did, because he slid right past me. But, yeah, he was up, but right, you know, right on our right. And when they hit a homer there, we saw him actually, you know, he waved his flag, and then we saw him as he began his descent into the slide. So that's exactly where we were. But I did not really pay attention. Well, I wasn't there for the game. I was there for the company and the conversation. It was, you know, my godson's bachelor party, so, I mean, I'm not going to...
Here's one. So you don't buy your wife's underwear at the socks and underwear store in Oak Forest?
See?
No, they don't really carry
the
that.
The dollar store?
No, that's just... That's more of an industrial... Not industrial necessarily, but not your dainties.
So if you've gone... So it sounds as if you have gone in by yourself. So now do you work with a... With a salesperson? Or
with an underwear associate, as they call them?
Is that what they're called?
Nobody's called a salesperson anymore.
Yeah. A partner? A team member?
Right. One of our cast members?
Yeah. Or do you just sort of, you know?
I can go on my own.
Yeah?
I can figure that out.
You know which area you need to go to.
I know what I like.
You know the colors.
Only WGN AM 720 comes up on what? That's what this text says. I know that is when you go to their app. That's why I'm directing you to TuneIn or iHeart. Okay, I'm cutting out the middle
exactly.
Right now. You go right to iHeart, TuneIn, WGN.fm, and then you should be in business. Keith, do you know anything about that? It should be right. I
just looked up a WGN FM and it came up.
.fm on what?
On iHeart Radio.
Yeah, iHeart or TuneIn. Go to that. That's the way to go. And what's the text I wanted to share here? All right. There's your deal. You got Johnny's finance to come in on Thursday, an unscheduled trip for Johnny from Michigan. Got him on the train. Got him some hostel money. And hopefully a couple Lou Malnati's gift cards, and he'll be set.
Oh, my gosh. He's going to be in pig heaven.
And get this. He's staying till Saturday.
Whoa.
Show's Thursday. He's staying an extra day.
Whoa. How did that happen?
Well, just did.
Wow.
George, my friend George, is financing the trip.
This is a
So he threw in a few extra bucks.
I think it's hilarious that he's financing the whole thing.
Came over with cash in an envelope. It was like the Sopranos. Here, give this to Johnny.
So.
Yeah. And then Craig booked his train ticket.
Wow. He's like a V. Is he going to get a ride in a car to the train station?
Well,
too?
Originally, George had scheduled him on a train that wouldn't have gotten him in until 7.
Oh, good.
That didn't help.
That's nice.
So Craig called and got him on an earlier train. And I heard Craig talking to the guy at the train depot.
Right.
Well, he's going to be on a radio show.
What the hell?
Maybe he'll have his own sleeper car. Yeah, I don't know. He was really laying it on thick for Johnny.
Why would George get him in at 7 o'clock?
I don't know what George is thinking. He may have thought it was something else. Maybe he thought it was 7 a.m. I don't know.
Because Johnny said he'll get up real early.
Sure.
You know, what's really, when you think about this train, it's just as much as to drive. It's still like a five-hour trip, right?
Is it a five-hour train trip?
Well, I think he said it takes about 5 or 6 hours.
Does it stop?
I don't know.
Must stop.
But
it has to stop.
That's how long it takes to drive to Detroit.
Yeah.
So you're not, it's like the train doesn't really, I bet you the train doesn't go more than 75 miles an
hour. Extra day to see Ursula.
Ursula!
That's good.
I'm going to go see, maybe I'll go to Comic-Con while I'm here. Gary.
And get my picture taken with that.
Yeah.
What was that?
With the Ho Chi Minh or whatever her name was. I don't remember. I'm not going to give him a pair of my glasses, though.
Oh, that's nice.
Well,
you.
I didn't you promised him my glasses.
Well, he seems so set on it. And
all right, well, I'll take a look.
Yeah, you got how many pairs?
I know, but he's looked like he's getting pretty set up where.
All right, well, come on.
He gets to go to the thing. I don't even get to go.
Don't start. Yeah, I knew this was going to break out.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
We were very close to not having this happen at all because there are no engineers.
You didn't have to talk about it.
All right, you already put it out of the
atmosphere. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, well, you just did.
Well, what did I say?
You said, I'm not even.
All right, well, wasn't it going to come out?
Well, you would have been on, and only the people that are sitting up there would have gone, where's Bibble? And I'll say he's on the 7th floor because we have no engineer available. They're all in Bourbon A because of the Bears camp opening, and the sports station is going to be there, so all the engineers are on that. And it got down to, well, maybe we have to reschedule. I said, I've already given out 10 pairs of tickets. So this is the only way we could do it.
I hope I don't get sick on Thursday.
Okay, well, you better not. You're going to be sicker than you thought. And I got to figure out Joe's ride. He might be bringing Joe in, too. Kentucky. Police officers got an unexpected delivery to their station that was traced back to an inmate who was recently arrested for shoplifting. 5 pizzas were delivered to the police department under these officers' name who arrested Michael Harp. He was in a jail cell at the time, in trouble for shoplifting and public intoxication. This guy sounds like, what's his name from Andy Griffith, the drunk?
Oh, Otis.
Otis. He's now facing more charges. I'm wrongfully accused on this here. They've charged me with 2 felonies over this pizza deal because they had my phone inside the holding cell. I mean, it's a joke, truthfully. Pizzas come up. Or no, pizzas, come on.
Pizzas come up.
That's what you want to do. You're in the jail cell. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have some pizza sent to the jail, to the police station.
Well, you know what they always say? That you know someone's guilty if they fall asleep overnight.
In the cell.
In the cell, because they
have no alibi to work on.
Well, they don't feel guilty.
They know they're guilty. Yeah, right. So they have nothing to worry about. If you're in there for no reason, you're scared as hell.
You are not sleeping. You are pissed, and are like walking around going, "How am I going to get out of here?"
The guy that's sleeping, I know why I'm here.
They caught me.
Why not get some shut eye?
So clearly, if this guy is ordering pizzas, I got to say that's the same as falling asleep.
I think I'll order some pizzas for the police.
I know I'm going to be here for a while. I might as well order some za.
There are a lot of idiots walking around. This is an interesting idea. The drone is becoming quite the star now.
Everybody's got a drone. Drone pictures on the news now all the time.
People are now using small quadcopter drones to shoot photos at their weddings. A congressman last month used a drone to record his own wedding and is now under investigation by the FAA because the agency still has an explicit ban on drone flights for commercial purposes. And this guy is in government, and he did it.
I wonder if the paparazzi will start using drones. Like, to get pictures of weddings, like the big celebrity weddings?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
An Iowa wedding photography company last week added aerial drone photography to its services to brides and grooms. It's $400 for a 30-minute drone shoot. But that's going to be some pretty cool pictures. That whole drone thing, I don't know how you can do any better. These things can get where you can't.
Yeah.
And some nice overhead shots.
And you're not risking human life.
Unless it goes goofy and takes out an eye.
Right. Well, just saying above the mishap kind of thing. Oh, I think that's how they're gonna wind up fighting wars for the most part with drones in the future.
They should. Everybody can stay home. Just let these things fight it out.
Just hit little buttons.
Oh, you mean the drones killing people altogether, or drones killing other drones, and then you tabulate that way?
Oh no, I don't think it's gonna be drones versus
four of your drones.
No,
we win.
No. That sounds like the Terminator.
They're doing that now. We're killing people with drones now.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, pretty soon, I don't think you'll even have a ground force. You know what I mean? I don't think there'll be an infantry or whatever you call that when, you know, there'll be no need.
Boots on the ground.
Yeah, I don't think you'll need that. Which I guess is good, but then, I don't know.
The FAA is set to reevaluate its rules on commercial drone flights in September of next year, although reports last month suggested that the agency would miss this deadline. In any case, it appears the market for wedding drone videos is here to stay.
I thought the wedding phone booth was a big deal. That's passé now. You got to have a drone.
I was at a wedding a few weeks ago. They had the photo booth.
Did they have the photo booth?
Yeah. And here's something they had that I haven't seen and I really enjoy. They had unlimited red licorice on the dessert table.
What does that mean?
That means they kept replenishing the red licorice because I was taking handfuls.
Was it a pile?
It was when I got there.
I mean, how did they?
And then I reduced the pile, and they brought more.
No, how did they display it though? How did they present it?
They had all the other desserts, and then there was a big plate of red licorice.
There was a plate of red licorice.
Yes, I've never seen that.
Formal wedding?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Really? And they had licorice.
That was nice. I love red licorice.
Wow. I've never. Was it like? Do you think it was Twizzler?
Twizzler.
Yeah.
It was definitely Twizzler. Definitely Twizzler.
You could tell.
Yeah.
Long strips or the short ones? The little
the standard,
ones?
What, foot longs?
Yeah. What's that other stuff that was, because like licorice, wasn't there like stuff that was like strings? Remember that?
Yeah, that was what
was
it was called,
too?
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't
licorice
like that.
Licorice whips.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
That was more cherry flavored. Those were the only ones I could stomach because licorice tastes like, licorice.
I don't like black licorice.
You don't?
No.
Oh, love black licorice.
Really?
Oh.
Does it make your teeth black, though?
So I'll brush them.
So you dug Good and Plenty.
Yes, love Good and Plenty.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would eat the outside and then spit out the middle.
So what else do they have at the dessert table? They have like
ice cream sundaes, made to order.
Wow.
Yeah, but I just plowed into that licorice. In fact, my daughter went, "Isn't that enough?
Oh.
Haven't you had enough?"
Wow.
Doesn't it suck when your kid starts being your parent?
Because I would walk around with five or six in my hand and just keep eating them, then I go back.
You don't even know what the main course was.
Oh, I had the main course, but when I saw that licorice. Have you heard of the wedding drone, Leslie?
The wedding drone? No.
They're using drones.
It's called a husband.
I saw my first drone over the weekend.
Where?
I was at Rockin' for the Troops at Cantini, the Gary Sinise thing that he does with the Lieutenant Dan Band, and they had a drone flying over the entire crowd the entire time I was there. It was kind of cool.
Why?
I gather it had
somebody
a GoPro.
Was taking...
Yeah.
Photos, video.
I bet you that the paparazzi are using those or will start to use those for like the celebrity weddings. And if they did this at Captain Dan's thing or Lieutenant Dan's concert, then why not?
And then Leslie said, a colleague in sound, brother in sound, John Howell.
Big John Howell.
Saw her and said, "Please have a seat, have a beer, and tell me everything.
Tell me what's going on over
what's
there.
What's going on?
You had never met this guy before, right?
Oh no, I've met him before.
Oh, you know who he is. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you've met him before, but he wanted all the details.
Oh, he I got the feeling he was very interested in what was going on over here. And I told him, I don't know.
what do you need to know?
Don't ask me.
Yeah, you know as much as we do.
Yeah, right. Well, I know the hallways are rocking.
What's that?
I know the hallways are rocking.
What do you mean?
That's what it says.
We just got a memo.
What happened?
The memo says the hallways are rocking.
It's not you this time.
Yeah, no, because this is all good news.
That's great. See what happens when they don't let them come up to the 22nd floor? Now it's just anger, a go-go. What's the rocking part?
The hallways are rocking.
Some internal movement. They're moving some producers around and giving some people some additional work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The hallways are rocking.
Like I said, this time it's not
rocking.
About you.
That's been true for about a month and a half. Red vines, yeah. I don't like cherry that much, so that's probably why I don't like red vines.
So you don't like cherry pie? I love cherry. You don't like cherry?
Listen, cherry
great.
Pie.
The first time Bibble doesn't imitate Johnny, then Gary instigates it. What's the problem? Johnny is cool with this.
I know, Johnny.
Stop with that.
We had him on.
I mean, the kid is, he's not a kid, he's almost 40, but there's no abuse here.
Johnny could take care of himself.
Yeah.
First of all, you're a hypocrite because you know that you're enjoying Johnny and the way he tells his story.
Right.
So let's not pretend that we're all not laughing, okay?
Now,
that's why you like
Johnny.
And Johnny's fine with it. Johnny said, hey, what do you got for me?
Ursula,
can't wait to come. You know, I'm not going to come until 7 o'clock, Gary. I'm going to miss your show. What kind of outfit you're running over there?
Amtrak is about the same as driving for most routes, as they do make stops along the way.
Yeah. So why do you do it? I guess if you can't drive?
He doesn't have a car.
No, I don't mean him. I just mean people in general. Then, I mean, why wouldn't you just drive?
Some people don't have a car.
Yeah, but
yeah, that.
Well, then why don't
that
you?
That or walk.
No, but take,
or take the train.
Well, take the bus. Take the Greyhound bus.
All right. If I had to pick between a bus and a train, I'll take the train.
Yeah, but the train's got to be more expensive, right?
I'll bet it is.
Yeah. You know, trains are not cheap. Everybody acts like, oh, I won't fly. I'll take a train. I got news for you.
Answering a text here about Johnny. I tried to play along because you're funny, but you just don't get why it's not funny to make fun of Johnny from Michigan. Don't you and Bibble realize that what you're doing when you imitate him? So sad. Well, I'm going to let him decide on Thursday. If he said, I'm going to make sure he's comfortable. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter if you say.
Haven't you already done that?
I have, but in person where I can say, Johnny, look me in the eye. And I don't want you to feel bad if you say it is hurtful or you feel bad about it, because by this person saying what he's saying, I think he's giving Johnny very little credit for being Johnny.
Well, that's my point. Everybody's being so paternalistic about him that you're not giving him any respect of being his own person.
Is that
do you need to coddle
what's
him?
What's the difference between that and doing Lou Piniella or
right, exactly.
Eddie or anybody else?
That's what I mean.
What's
there's
the
nothing.
Difference? It's an homage.
There's no difference.
I like the Johnny right. stuff.
Okay,
like
so now don't stuff. Do that. That's mean. You're making fun of a doddering old man. That's not funny.
And Johnny is very well aware of everything that's going on, and I'll ask him to decide Thursday.
Johnny doesn't need anybody to take care of him or
no,
speak for him. Johnny
is
very self-sufficient.
He's a go-getter.
He's not even slow, if you're making the inclination or the implication that he's slow. He's not slow. He's bipolar, and he's got...
Yeah, he's admitted that.
He's got some... But he's not mentally deficient.
No.
So if you're thinking he is, then you're actually...
Right, trying to pretend like, oh,
yeah.
He's so fragile.
He's not fragile.
Why are you guys doing that?
He travels across the country on his own.
He's a great storyteller, and he's a fun guy to be around, and he's going to be there Thursday.
Lighten up.
So does that mean people like Rich Little are all wrong, or Frank Gorshin?
Yeah, or Fred Travellina?
Or, boy, that was a standard comedic genre that has completely gone away for the most part.
I mean, people do occasional impersonations, but these guys were impersonators. That's what they did. They came out and did 45 minutes of everybody.
A little bit of everybody that was well-known back then, but that has fallen off the earth.
And you know what I don't understand is that's considered, like, in today's entertainment world, if you do impersonate more than one or two impersonations, you're considered a hack.
Because usually those guys, even those guys that were the best of the best, after they did the imitation, even if it was dead on, there was no material to make it good.
No.
They thought doing the voice was enough.
Yeah.
And that's where it went south on them.
I mean, the one thing I will never forget, though, the first time I saw Rich Little, and this was an example of exactly what we're talking about. Rich Little, I think the first time he ever did Johnny Carson, and he did a really good Johnny Carson, was on a Dean Martin roast of Johnny Carson. And so he came out and he did the and he did that, and he did the hands in the pockets, and he did, and Johnny was on the floor. And everybody was on the floor. And that is not a joke.
I think if you do anybody dead on and they get to see it.
Right.
For the most. This, now that this.
Plus, it's the highest, it is the highest form of a compliment.
Guys, the dude is mentally handicapped. That's why people don't like it.
He's not.
He's admitted he's bipolar.
Right.
He's working with, my God, guy does more traveling
if he was mentally
on his own.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be able to do what he does.
If he was mentally handicapped, how did he get from Michigan to New York and to Washington.
Washington
and back home? And he didn't get killed, and he didn't get robbed.
He's not mental at all. Not at all.
And as I said before, the only way you can do a good impersonation is if you really study the person and really listen and really care.
Johnny, here's the great, and to the whole why those impersonators really didn't pay off, even though they made a good living, because people were enamored with just the impression. Johnny's content is so strong.
Well,
doing the voice and just repeating what he says is so good.
Because we enjoyed,
he has great content.
We enjoyed the stories
that's
he told,
right.
So it was funny to rehear it again.
When you can go to a B.B. King disco night and get the mac and cheese.
And, you know, and they play really good music, except they didn't play anything by Gloria Gaynor. Now, here, if I didn't listen and enjoy Johnny, how would I remember that detail? So I am listening.
He's got a great eye for detail. That's what makes his story so engaging. That's why he's so funny, because telling the stories, a lot of people tell stories, but the way he tells them, and the details.
That was so funny. I mean, he had Jim Ramsey on the edge of his seat.
God.
I mean, it was great.
He's got a great mind for that stuff. That B.B. King thing, I'll never forget that.
The macaroni
and cheese at B.B. King's club is delicious.
And that's what's so funny is there's a little nugget that the average person, when telling the story, would never even said what they had.
No.
So not only is it funny that he remembered
B.B. King,
what he had.
Mac and cheese.
But he had mac and
disco
cheese.
Disco night.
If he had the hamburger, it's not funny.
No, it's the mac and cheese.
It's the mac and cheese.
Because I don't associate B.B. King with mac and cheese.
Exactly.
Just like I don't associate Oprah with tea.
Exactly.
But there she is in Starbucks with her tea. Wes?
Hey, Gary West from South Bend.
There he is.
I just want to chime in. This thing with Johnny, I replayed a couple of the podcasts over the weekend. I was out cleaning out my shop and doing things, and I heard the whole repeat of Baba Bibble doing the impression, and Johnny called in. And I think you're being unduly crucified for this. I mean, it seems it's gone too far. And not on your end, by any means, but I could see how somebody could be uncomfortable with Baba Bibble doing that. But Johnny's on board. I mean, there's no... You know, he's part of the WAC pack, the team, the whatever. I mean, he's a huge guest on your show. I enjoy listening to him, and I know you guys enjoy his stories and everything. And it's one of those things like it's your best buddy to always pick on, you know, and that's just what it is, you know. And
we're not picking on him. I don't think it's picking on him. I think I was enjoying what he did again because it was so good the first time. Let me just give you the responses that are coming in so you can chew on these for a minute.
Sure.
All right. G-Man, he's not bipolar. He said he has a cleft palate, moron.
Yeah, but he said he's bipolar. He takes medication.
What is bipolar then? A physical handicap?
You know what?
People think he is mentally, in terms of being disabled.
Those people are celebrities. Johnny's a listener. Geez, get a clue, guys.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to talk to him on Thursday.
I guess he's going to be here.
I'm misunderstanding, but I'm thinking it's all in good fun. And you know, I like I said, maybe I misphrased it when I say it's like your best friend you pick on. I'm not saying you're picking on the guy, but it's just it's all in good fun. It's no different than, you know, my partner at work that we hang out with, and we're always busting each other's chops all day. That's what we do. I mean, it's just how
that's
you
how,
do
that's
it.
That's how you ingratiate people.
Nothing beats.
Nothing beats. You know, maybe I'm reading it wrong. I don't know. I don't know why everybody's getting so pissed off about it. I just don't understand it.
Here's a text. Nothing beats Goober Pyle impersonating Cary Grant.
Judy. He sounds just like him. He takes off on Cary Grant.
Well, regardless, I don't think you guys are doing a major disservice to him. I mean, you're paying his way to get there, and in a way, I could see how people would think maybe you're making a spectacle of this guy, but I don't see that because he's been on the show for so long. It's been quite
several
a long
years.
Time that you guys have had him on. I don't get it, but
the thing just happened on the spur of the moment. Gary had mentioned Johnny again. It was 3 hours after he had done the initial story. It was funny, and it was very – I had never even done that impersonation in my life. I didn't do it in my basement. I didn't do it in my bathroom. I didn't do it in my car. It just happened.
My green name's Agent Ham. I have not done it in my basement. I have not done it in my bathroom.
It was just a spur-of-the-moment thing because it was so funny.
That reminds me of that Don Knotts bit. If you don't know about Count Vandelay or whatever.
Count Isfantalecki.
Yeah, so you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. If you don't know what you're talking about,
you mean to tell me, Barney, that you really believe in that Aladdin's lamp? I did not see that lamp. I do not know what was in that lamp. Therefore, I cannot say that it did not happen.
Yeah, if you don't know what's in that lamp, you are not qualified to talk about that.
You know, Cochran's doing a Zeus or Dr. Seuss thing to win those tickets. I bet Baba Bibble's got a hell of a chance at it. He's right in there. You know,
what are you talking about?
What is that? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Cochran's got this thing going about if you rhyme with Zeus, you get tickets to the Zeus show or something. I don't know
what you're talking about. I do not know what that person's name is that you're talking about.
That is old media.
I don't know what that's about.
I do not swim in the old media pond.
Hey, you know what, Gary, I do have a good question for you. Years ago, you told your daughter you went to the dealership, had your FM removed off the radio. Now, I followed that. I did the same thing. Now, what do I do now?
Removed off the radio. What do you mean?
Yeah. Remember,
I did say
you're
that?
On AM. Or you were on AM. I'm sorry, were.
Yeah, now we don't have any radio in the car. The whole thing's been taken out for scrap.
What the hell do I do now? You know, yeah. I mean, I followed your lead.
Although you can pull up the .fm feed on an FM signal by that FM transmitter that you can get through Amazon for $8.
You're sending me one. I want it on the radio. If you
you won that one. That's right. You did win that. You haven't received it yet.
No, I've got my launcher out by the mailbox. Every day.
All right, tomorrow, Keith, remind me to follow up on that because we should have sent those things out.
I'll be at the mailbox waiting, man. I'm waiting. I need this.
I think Johnny should be respected with the, if you want to call them handicaps for whatever reason, whatever he's been throwing, he has dealt with them admirably. This guy is really a poster boy for how you can maneuver past all that.
He's not only dealt with them, he's overcome them.
Yes. I mean, he's very articulate. He's very funny. He's engaging. And he has these issues, but he's worked past them. I think that should be admired.
No, I couldn't agree more. But I can see how people that don't really listen and get the thing could think that you're making a spectacle of the guy, you know, and I can see that, but then again, I know the real deal. You're not, but you're getting all these wicked texts and out. Now, they'll probably throw my ass under the bus too, you know. Oh, he's with you, but whatever.
That's part of the deal.
As you really, you know, tearing him down, you know, I don't see that. I really don't. So I'm coming to your defense.
Hang up on Wes so we can make fun of him?
Remember you told your daughter
you open another mattress in the forest preserve, Bibble.
You had the FM torn out. I'm sitting by the mailbox in my lawn chair. Where's my FM transmitter? I won already.
Hey, who makes more fun of themselves and throws themselves under the bus more than me? Okay,
you need to do just a little bit more. Just a little bit more.
Just a little bit. All right.
Just a little bit.
Wes, if you don't have that FM transmitter by the end of the week, get back to me. I will check tomorrow to make sure it went out.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. No, I'm not that impatient. Hell, I've got a job.
No, but I want to make sure.
Clean up,
No.
I work for the Parks Department here in Indiana, and I've got to clean up mattresses. The Bibble drops off, so I've got things to do. But I'll be more than appreciative when it does hit the mail, believe me.
Okay. So, did you win the transmitter or the phone?
No, the little plug-in.
Okay, because whoever won that phone,
Amazon
that's
deal.
A nice
yeah.
phone.
Yeah,
yeah, somebody's going to get a nice phone, and this transmitter thing is nice, too, even though
well,
it's only...
that's fine with me, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I'd have won the phone, but hey, I'm happy with what I got.
All
hey,
right.
Something's better than nothing. I'm good. I'm
all right. Let me know by the end of the week. Make sure you got it.
10-4.
Okay.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, Wes. 10-4, brother.
Brother.
Appreciate it. I don't care. This is off the grid. That's what we're doing here.
Jeez.
Deal with it.
Everybody is so sensitive. And I wouldn't mind if Johnny said, well, that sounds mean. I don't appreciate that. He didn't say that.
We, in fact, engaged
him. I did it for him
the other day about that, and I said to him, are you upset by that? No. If he's saying it because he's afraid that I might react in a bad way, I'll get that out of him on Thursday. He's comfortable around this.
Johnny's actually more mature than some of these people.
Yeah.
He's got a better perspective on things than these people do.
Johnny is cool. He gets it. Thank you. 312-521-8600.
It's new media. It's the future. Get used to it.
That's it. This is what it's going to be.
this is going to be on broadcast all the time now. People making fun of other people.
Yeah, so that's the new media that you've been hoping for, maybe, or thought you did, but now you're not sure.
Oops.
A 97-year-old Napa, California man. Is there another Napa? I have this thing where when people go, I'm from Denver, Colorado.
Chicago, Illinois.
I'm from Los Angeles, California. I think you should know where Napa is by now, right?
I would think
but
so.
When they do that, I just think Cleveland. Now, I will say there are some places that are in the same place in different states.
Yeah.
There's a Paris, Texas. I guess you have to clarify that. But in most cases, you don't need to say the state. In
there's
Napa.
There's a London, Ontario.
Right. But overall, if you don't know where Denver is at this point, you probably don't need to know. A 97-year-old man with a talent for music said he was evicted from the retirement center in Napa where he lived. He was tuning his ukulele and was not ready for such a life changer. I found out a few weeks ago I was being evicted. He had some issues with the bosses there. Now, again, this is a 97-year-old man.
And they're going to kick him out.
Management continually... Well, listen to
uh-oh.
This. Listen to this. Listen to this quote.
Wait a minute.
Management continually suppressed my talents. Where are we? The musician said it's because he played too much music. Where have
oh,
I heard
my
that?
Gosh.
This guy's ripping off my stuff.
Was he in the room?
Management would stop me and say these words. Go back to your room.
Oh, basically, that's what they said.
He goes, I'm not sure my heart can take this. He spent the last three nights in a homeless shelter. How loud could his music be? His ukulele.
I heard he's playing the ukulele on the stream now.
Now he's on the stream.
He's on the stream.
Now he's on nursinghome.fm. But how people...
Thepavilion.com.
As you may know, if you visit a nursing home, they don't hear very well.
Oh, you
so how
loud
must it have been? And it's a ukulele.
Yeah, I mean, it's got, what, three strings on it?
Are there electric ukuleles? Isn't that the whole beauty of a ukulele, because it's not electric?
Plus, all you do is go...
Right. Something in the way she moves.
I mean, come on. Here's a guy trying to, you know, spend his last minutes doing something he enjoys.
97, and you're still getting hassled. When does it end?
Man. So now he's in a homeless shelter. That's not good.
Let's see if there's an update here. Here's this frail man. He's got his head held up high going into the doors of this shelter and knowing that this is not the place I ever expected him to be. This is somebody... knows him. Oh, with the help of an anonymous donor, Farrell was able to move into another nursing home on Friday, and friends are helping to raise money to stay at the home.
And now he's playing the drums.
Now it's
gonna get
okay.
Out of there.
You thought you didn't like that?
Wait till I get it.
Well, I guess maybe he was drowning out the Wheel of Fortune, because that's what they like to do: watch Wheel of Fortune all the way up. And maybe he was too loud for that.
In a little Jeopardy with a Jeopardy chaser.
That's your afternoon, right after the lovely meal,
and the sudden like 10:30 nap that everybody seems to take all at the same time. I don't know how that always happens.
10:30 a.m.?
Oh, yeah. You go there a little too early. I think there's something in the food. Everybody seems knocked out.
I was at this one a few years ago, and they had all these people on Lazy Boys, appropriately named, because they're all sleeping.
Yeah.
All in this...
Well, my mom broke her hip. She had to go to a rehab center, which was basically a nursing home rehab center. And I went there to visit her. And just like you said, I walked in and there was a row of about 10 chairs.
Yeah, they're all sleeping. What else are you
going
to do?
Mom, I'm like, what's going on?
Man, if that isn't depressing. Although, what else can you do?
Although they were comfortable. Most of them were smiling while they were sleeping. They had their little
good dreams.
Yeah, they had their little sweatpants on and a little gym shoes.
Right, and those support socks.
Oh yeah,
keep their circulation motivated.
Yeah. I sort of nudged her, and she's like, "Huh? What? She didn't seem to mind.
Okay, I appreciate all your input on the Johnny issue. Oh. It will be settled on Thursday when he's here.
Jeez. People are aware that this is kind of like a fun, irreverent show, right?
I guess not.
Isn't that...
How many Lebanons are there? Do you know where they are at? How many Springfields are there? Do you know where they're at? There are a lot of... That's what I mean. There are some. But when people go, I live in Denver, I don't know of any other Denver. Right? Los Angeles. Is there another Los Angeles? San Francisco? Those key towns. Chicago.
Chicago.
Perfect. I don't need to know it's in Illinois, pretty much. Don't need to know. No, it's here.